the top 2% go up.
The president later meets with Native American tribal leaders. Some fear the looming cuts in the fiscal cliff could undermine tribal issues. New York City police say a suspect is in custody for the death of a subway rider.
Police say 58-year-old Ki-Suk Han was shoved into the path of an oncoming subway train.
NBC's Kurt Gregory says it took police a day to find the man they believe shoved him.
To identify the suspect, detectives pored over security video from area stores.
No charges were immediately announced. Workers at the ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach will return to the job this morning, this after an 8-day strike. This is NBC News Radio. A new survey confirms what we've already suspected. It's tough for teens and young adults to find jobs.
The latest Kids Count survey from the Annie E. Casey Foundation reports a major increase in teen unemployment over the past 10 years, with only 1 in 4 now able to find a well-paying position. The report says there are now over 6 million young people in the U.S., both out of school and jobless. I'm Paul Harlan, NBC News Radio.
Authorities are trying to piece together just how a capital murder suspect was able to take a deputy's gun and escape from a Dallas hospital. He later surrendered after a 2-hour standoff last night. Franklin Davis is facing charges for killing a teenage girl. And authorities are investigating an explosion and chemical leak at a Dole plant in California's Central Valley. The explosion released nearly 100 gallons of ammonia about 120 miles southeast of San Francisco. Nearly 200 employees and some nearby residents had to be evacuated. I'm Lynn Berry, NBC News Radio.
Nerlman, one of our vendors just called.
That's nice, Mr. Fernwell.
We owe him for a job that closed 8 months ago.
Yeah, Susan, the office manager, owes me for lunch last week.
The accounting team is swamped, Nerlman. Call Bob from Account Temps. Bob knows our accounting system inside out and can step right in so we can get caught up without all this overtime.
Maybe Bob can help me collect from Susan.
Be flexible, work smarter with Account Temps, the staffing firm recommended by 9 out of 10 hiring managers. A Robert Half Company. Learn more at AccountTemps.com.
It's not easy finding holiday gifts and staying within your budget. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today and find great gift ideas starting at $5.99, including Performance Tool Hex Set, Dorsey 4-LED Waterproof Flashlight, Slime Tire Pressure Gauge, and more. O'Reilly Auto Parts has your holiday shopping in the bag. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Amazon wants to get kids interested in reading and in buying stuff from Amazon. Today, the company launches a new service for kids. It includes unlimited content, e-books, movies, TV, games, all available on the Kindle Fire. The service is called Free Time, but it isn't free. It's $3 to $10 per kid per month. Gift cards are ever bigger as a holiday gift idea, but this one would get you a lot of coffee. Starbucks is offering a $400 gift card, but it will cost $450 to buy. That's because the card is made out of steel. When the Fed Reserve meets next week, policymakers will enact a new round of monetary intervention in the form of bond repurchases. That is the prediction of many analysts, and that is what is going to happen, according to Reuters. Stock futures gaining in the early going following the lead of markets around the world, which are modestly higher. S&P futures gaining 3 points, NASDAQ futures up 2. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
How would you like to try a sales-generating tool for your business that is so good at locating qualified leads it's been called best of the breed? If your business thrives on selling to other businesses, then get ready for a toll-free number and a free trial offer that could literally revolutionize your sales. Hoovers, a D&B company, has developed a powerful tool to connect you to qualified buyers for your product or service that is fast and easy. No more wasting time getting leads manually. No more pre-configured lists of names that don't fit your business. Hoover's advanced targeting technology helps you reach the market that will be most receptive to your product or service. For a limited time, Hoover's would like to offer their radio listeners 50 free leads and a 24-hour trial.
Just call 800-239-0011. That's a free trial and 50 free leads. Call now. 800-239-0011. 800-239-0011. Again, 800-239-0011.
Attention homeowners, if your home has lost value and you now owe more than your home is worth, Please listen carefully to this very important message. If you purchased a home or refinanced your loan before June of 2009, Quicken Loans may now be able to help you refinance at today's incredibly low interest rates, even if you owe more than your home is worth. This is Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans, and I want to let you know that on September 14th of this year, the government announced changes that may allow you to refinance even if your home has lost value. So if your current mortgage is higher than 3.99%, please call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN. Even if you owe more than your home is worth, you may now be able to refinance at today's incredibly low rates. Again, if you've been unable to refinance because you owe more than your home is worth and your rate is above 3.99%, call 800-QUICKEN now and let us help you take advantage of this unique opportunity.
Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
Our country is divided. With fault lines on every issue and constantly shifting blame, America has been held in deadlock. With confidence in our elected officials quickly waning, where can you turn when you want real progress? There is a place for insight, answers, and community in this divisive society. There is a place for you, a place for your sanity. Welcome to your first shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome, everybody. It is Wednesday morning, December 5th, 2012, and what an interesting day it is. For those of you that have not been paying attention since we left the air, I don't know, mid-afternoon, late afternoon, Governor Rick Snyder says that all of a sudden, after months and months and months of saying right to work was not on his agenda, yesterday he announced that right to work is on his agenda. Coward, leaderless, you betcha. We're going to certainly explore that in great detail in this hour. I'm disgusted. And I'm disgusted. Well, we'll come back to this. We'll absolutely come back to this. What a way to have to start our day by being threatened by a political ideology that is really based on nothing but fear and hatred. Damned Republicans. It just blows my mind. Blows my mind. You know, you give a party a little bit of power, and what do they do with it? They literally dismantle the very foundation of one of the greatest states in this country. All right, let's take a look. God, we've got really a lot to get to today. Shatan Berry will be with us, president of the Michigan Parent Teacher Association. We've been talking a great deal about House Bill 6004 and the accompanying bills on the Educational Achievement Authority. The Michigan PTA, along with a group of organizations, have sent President Obama a letter asking them to take out of consideration a Race to the Top grant that the EAA is in line for. Why? Well, we'll talk about that. Steve Yeager, the Director of Children's Services Administration with the Department of Human Services, joins us at 7:35. There is a wonderful program for young people that are transitioning into adulthood to help them get into and through college. There are issues that we probably don't think about that are obvious once you hear them, like if you are without a family and you're in the foster care system or you're just recently out of the foster care system, what do you do for holidays? Where do you go if you've got no family? Well, that is one of many issues that is addressed through this really, really great program. We'll talk about that. Stephen Anderson joins us from the Detroit Free Press at 8 o'clock. Certainly part of our discussion will be not just right to work for less, but we'll also be talking about something Anthony and I are going to get to in a minute, the Illich family's proposal to build a new, life-changing complex downtown Detroit. It's a very exciting plan. Planned Parenthood joins us at 8:35. Lori Lamoran, their president and CEO, is in Washington, D.C. this week. We'll check in and find out why. The president of the Brain Injury Association of Michigan, Mike Dabbs, joins us just after 9 o'clock to talk about Oh, insurance issues. Once again, folks, and we've visited this story many, many times over the last year and a half. The insurance lobby wants to win, wants to win, wants to win. But at what cost and at whose expense? You'll want to hear that story. And last but not least, this morning at 9:35, Heidi Shierholz will join us. She's an economist with the Economic Policy Institute. And a story that ran in the Free Press on Sunday, or it might have been Monday, called The Human Cliff. What is The Human Cliff? Well, you'll remember, our first shift Facebook poll question on Monday was about extending unemployment benefits. We're going to talk about that and the devastation to the country and the state if we don't get it together. Well, we'll get to all of that as we move forward. But with that said, let's get going.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Well, I got to tell you, today's first word is empowered, empowered. But I want to just focus on a single issue. I'm not going to give you some flowery explanation and what it means to be empowered and what it can do for you and how it strengthens you. And, of course, all of that stuff would be true with explanation. But this is truly about one issue today, and that one issue is right to work for less. The battle lines have now been drawn. We know that right to work for less will become a part of the political dialogue statewide. We know that there will be very definitive camps looking to fight this fight. And the Republicans know they have an opportunity to truly do something so historically devastating that it would enshrine them as complete asshats, but it would enshrine them changing, literally changing, the landscape of what the middle class looks like in the state of Michigan. We're empowered today because now that we understand what we're dealing with, we need to step up to the plate and fight this fight. And it is a fight. And don't let anybody tell you otherwise. And don't let anybody convince you that this is not a big deal. And do not, at any cost, think that you can't get engaged in the battle. Because there's going to be one battle. There's going to be one war. If you win one, you win the other. If you lose one, you lose the other. And what does this mean? What will it cost you? Well, you know what? We'll go through that. Not that we haven't already, but we'll do it again and again and again. But the bottom line, when you think about this long and hard, to be empowered, to step up, to grab, just to grab the rung, pull yourself up, and be ready and willing and willing and able to fight this fight is critical. It's no longer enough to send 10,000 people to the state capitol. We need 100,000. We need 200,000. We need to overwhelm through our empowered sense of doing what's right. And if you do not step up, if you do not find that thing within you that empowers you, I'll pray for you because God only knows what life looks like on the other side of right to work. Empowered is today's first word.
Lions.
Stafford takes, looks, throws deep middle. Got a man out there. It's Calvin at the five. Makes the catch.
Tigers.
Monroe edges off of second. The 1-0. Swinging a fly ball. Wow. Left field. It's deep. It's way back. The Tigers are going to the World Series.
Red Wings.
And they try Red Wings.
And Pistons.
The Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers.
The First Shift crew gives you some Detroit sports knowledge to drop next time you're at the water cooler.
And welcome, 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 one and all. We say good morning to Anthony, and good morning to you, sir.
Good morning.
Michigan starts off their season, basketball season, 8-0. Best record since 16 years, since 96-97. Ranked number 3 in the country. Win by 33 over Western Michigan last night. I'd say they're on a pretty nice track right now, eh?
Yeah, they look good. And I can't think of the ESPN columnist right now, but he ranked Michigan as the most talented team in the country.
It's amazing how far they've come. We spoke briefly the other day about Tommy Amaker. And, you know, I'll give him a little credit for getting this started. Certainly they had been...
Get it started, though?
I'll give him a little credit, I said. Not all of it. Certainly I'm not saying that... I think what he did is he brought a work ethic back. Obviously, he didn't stay for a reason. He wasn't getting them over the hump. The recent advances at Michigan have been pretty overwhelming. I'm impressed with this team. I'm impressed with the commitment that they've made to winning and to playing especially great defense. You don't win by 33 points on offense alone. So, by the way, Western Michigan only scored, I believe it was 41 points last night.
Yeah, it was something low like that. But you really do got to give Beilein credit for recruiting these players. You know, you got Hardway, who ended up staying all 4 years. You got Burke, who, despite being a first-round pick last year, came back and now he's an All-American this year. The McGarry, the freshman, and Glenn Robinson, the freshman. I mean, he's getting top recruits that are, you know, considering schools like Kentucky and Duke, and they're coming to Michigan again, so that's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. So we'll give them, John Beilein credit where it's due, and they're just playing very good basketball. And it'd be interesting because, you know, as we know, although Michigan State is not playing at the same level Michigan is right now, they certainly have the potential, as any Tom Izzo team does, to be a top 10 team. It'd be great to have two, major programs, Michigan programs in the top 10, eh?
Oh, it's very possible. I mean, Michigan State still only has the one loss to UConn to start the season, so they're still a very good team.
Absolutely. Let's take a quick break here. We'll come back. We've got some other sports news to get to, including the big news coming from Olympia Entertainment. If you don't know what that is, you will in about 4 minutes. 888-552-3595, tony@thetonyshow.org, on Twitter @TonyTrupiano. Pleasure to punch in with you on this early Wednesday morning. A quick break here on 1310 WDTW, and we'll keep it going right after this. Tony Trupiano wanting to wish all of you the happiest and most joyous of holiday season. Whether you celebrate the Christmas holiday or just celebrate the time of year, know that we here at First Shift care about you and wish you the very best.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
No major problems or tie-ups on your early morning commute, but you still want to use some caution in the area of 275 northbound after 6 Mile. Got reports of a struck deer in the center lane. Now, Telegraph Road northbound at Joy Road, single lane closure until 3 p.m. today. 696 eastbound at Farmington Road, single lane closure starting at 9. And also starting at 9, left lane is going to be closed on 75 southbound between 8 Mile and the Davison. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
At Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet, you can turn Thursday night into family night. Every Thursday from 5 to 8 p.m., kids eat for just 99 cents with the purchase of an adult meal. Enjoy fun activities for all at family night, only at Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy with a high of 40 degrees. Tonight, a low of 30. Tomorrow, cloudy and 47, and it's currently 36 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 11 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313-962-5020 Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet.
Become informed. Learn the truth. Stand and be recognized. You are tuned in to WDTW, 1310 AM. And it's time to get to work on First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
22 minutes after 6 o'clock, welcome back. Major, major news yesterday coming from all places. Lansing, with regard to Olympia Entertainment and Ilitch Enterprises, planning a huge development within the city, now city of Detroit. Now, where that is going to be is still a matter of speculation, but before we bring Anthony back, let's listen to this audio from WDIV Channel 4 on this new plan.
It may be nothing now, but imagine all of this transformed into a district where a state-of-the-art event center would be the centerpiece around which there would be retail and residential. This is so much more than a simple stadium for the Red Wings to play in.
Pass in front in the crease, they score!
It's clear Olympia is looking at a major entertainment venue. Rumors of these plans have been ongoing for years. Tonight, the Ilitches are going public. So how much of this is pie in the sky and how much is real? It's all real, according to University of Michigan professor Mark Rosentraub, who has been working on the feasibility study of Ilitch's dream.
Successful sports teams developing neighborhoods like they did in Columbus, like as was done in San Diego, as was done in Los Angeles, can change the face of cities.
Professor Rosentraub has crunched the numbers and he knows what to look for and at. He's been involved in high-profile developments like the Staples Center in Los Angeles.
I think if everybody should be excited. It's a game-changing day for the city of Detroit.
Mike Ilitch saying tonight, it's always been my dream to once again see a vibrant downtown Detroit. From the time we bought the Fox Theater, I could envision a downtown where the streets were bustling and people were energized. We're getting there now, and a lot of great people are coming together to make it happen.
All right, and so Anthony, obviously, as a now full-time Detroiter, but more importantly, as a sports fan and somebody that enjoys entertainment, I would think this is an exciting announcement.
Oh, yeah, how could it not be exciting? I mean, this is probably would be one of the the biggest thing to do in Detroit, I would say.
Yeah, no question. Again, they're not just talking about a new place for the Pistons, or I'm sorry, the Red Wings to play. And by the way, you may find that when this is all said and done, I said Pistons, but it wasn't accidental. It was in my brain for a reason. You may find that the Pistons may move back downtown, and I wouldn't be at all surprised if they come to some kind of agreement with Tom Gores, but this isn't going to just be a sports arena. It's going to be an entertainment complex. It's going to be retail. It's going to be parking. It's going to be residences. And this is that $650 million is the first of $1.8 billion planned for development wherever it is they decide to put this new mini city, wherever they decided to put it. So it's very exciting. Just so people don't get too overly excited, let's say everything goes perfectly. And the reason that this announcement was made in Lansing yesterday is they're actually seeking a public-private partnership, which is another way of saying tax dollars, to help fund this this proposal. Even if everything goes perfectly according to plan, it would be four years before it would be completed.
It's worth it, though. I mean, it definitely would change the city for the best. I think the article said it would create 8,500 jobs, not including construction. Was that right?
Yep, that is right.
That would just be insane.
Yep. So the very, very good news. And, you know, it's not like the Illich family has been shy about spending money downtown. They've been doing it longer than anybody, you know, not to disrespect certainly those that are currently making lots of improvements in downtown Detroit. So very good news. Very, very quickly, Anthony, the Detroit Lions announced yesterday that Ryan Broyles is out for the year, has to have surgery, and that Titus Young, who has been a troublemaker in the locker room, is, well, placed on injured reserve, and he's not injured. What's that all about?
I don't know if we'll ever get that full story from Schwartz of the Lions because you know how much information they give you already. But, yeah, I guess they're moving on from Titus Young, it looks like.
Yeah. Excuse me, yes. He's probably, I guess not probably, he's done being a Detroit Lion. I don't see him coming back next year at all, do you?
I mean, they could always this offseason talk to him, and they could write the articles about how he's a changed person, and then everybody forgets. But I'm kind of done with him. I think his time here is done.
Yeah, I believe so too. And you know, it's a shame for him. You know, we see this from time to time. Jamarcus Russell certainly comes to mind, Anthony, who was the jackass quarterback a few years back that was making a zillion dollars just decided to throw his career away. Well, there guess have been more than one. It just amazes me that these guys get these opportunities. Obviously, you know, they're not going to make this kind of money doing anything else that they may be qualified to do, only to flush it down the toilet. It just blows my mind.
Yeah, commenting on Jamarcus Russell real quick. He just never showed up to camp. He weighed in at 300 pounds his last year, which is crazy for a quarterback. And, these guys just, I don't get it. They get the millions of dollars. They have basically a free ride into the NFL. And then they get there, and then when it becomes your job, they just don't want to do it anymore. They don't want to put in the time and the film room and the weight room and, you know, all that stuff.
Well, I would think that because that is part of the job description, you might actually want to show up, but hey, whatever. You know, and I find it amazing in Jamarcus Russell's case and maybe in some of these other cases, you know, they do have, although football contracts are not guaranteed, portions of them are. And they end up walking away or get cut by teams and still get a nice chunk of change. And, well, it is what it is. You do sign them. You do take a risk. I don't care who it is you're signing. You do take a risk as a team. And, well, there are way too many examples of guys that ended up getting millions of dollars and, well, did nothing but embarrass themselves and the teams that signed them. Anyway, that's it for today in sports. No news, by the way, out of the baseball winter meetings as of yet. But it's early, and we'll see what happens. We may find a couple Tigers being traded before the week is up, and maybe some additions to our roster before the week is up. But we'll just have to wait and see. But, again, and nothing out of the National Hockey League, to my knowledge. No talks are even going on at this point. I would think, folks, that if they don't have some kind of agreement by the first of the year, they will cancel the season. That's just my guess. So, all right, we're about to get to the break here. We're going to talk right to work for less on the other side. Would certainly like to hear from some of you that are coming and going to your job and from your job today. I know some of you actually listen on your way home. What does this mean for you? And, you know, I'm interested in hearing from both union and non-union folks, as we have, you know, easily been able to demonstrate. And as many of you know, even if you are not in a union, what happens as a result of collective bargaining does impact the non-union worker in a positive way. So what's this all about? Now, I have my theory, and we'll get to that on the other side, but feel free to give us a call. Would love to hear from you. 888-552-3595. That's 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Trupiano. Thanks for punching in on this Wednesday morning. We'll be right back.
You know, and everyone you meet. Oh, oh, the mistletoe.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
So far, you got a nice smooth commute on your early morning drive, but we do have construction, single lane closure. That's until 3 p.m. on Telegraph Road, northbound at Joy Road. And two lanes are going to be closed at 9 a.m. on 75, both directions at Baldwin, and also at 9 a.m. southbound 75, just before 12 mile, your right lane will be closed. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
At Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet, you can turn Thursday night into family night. Every Thursday from 5 to 8 p.m., kids eat for just 99 cents with the purchase of an adult meal. Enjoy fun activities for all at family night, only at Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy with a high of 40 degrees. Tonight, a low of 30. Tomorrow, cloudy and 47. And it's currently 36 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Remember the horrible murders in 1978 of San Francisco Mayor George Moscone and Supervisor Harvey Milk? At the killer's trial, his lawyer argued for leniency, saying that a steady diet of junk food had addled his client's brain, a claim that entered the annals of jurisprudence as the Twinkie defense. Even less defensible is a recent claim by Ripplewood, a private equity firm that had bought out Hostess Brands 3 years ago, including Twinkies. Just before Thanksgiving, the firm asserted that it had been forced by greedy labor unions to kill off Hostess Brands. Far from greedy, however, the 18,500 unionized workers are quite reasonable and very loyal. In fact, they had previously given back $100 million in annual wages and benefits to help the company survive. The true greed in this drama is inside Ripplewood's towering castle of high finance in Manhattan. Rather than modernizing Hostess's factories and upgrading its products, as the unions had urged, the equity hucksters plundered the company to feather their own nests. For example, they siphoned millions of dollars out of Hostess directly into their corporate pockets by paying themselves, quote, consulting and management fees. But it was this year that the managerial incompetence and raw ethical depravity of the vultures of Ripplewood fully surfaced. While demanding a new round of deep cuts in workers' pay, health care, and pensions, they quietly jacked up their own take. And by a lot. The CEO's paycheck, for example, rocketed from $750,000 a year to $2.5 million. This is Jim Hightower saying, like a character in a bad Agatha Christie whodunit, Ripplewood, the one so insistently pointing the finger of blame at others, turns out to be the one who killed the Twinkie,
along with the livelihoods of 18,500 workers.
To get more of Jim Hightower's populist take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to, visit www.hightowerlowdown.org.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Very googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
35 minutes after 6 o'clock. Let me just first get to the First Shift Facebook question of the day today. If you'd like to vote, just go to Facebook, search for First Shift. After saying for months that right to work for less was not on his agenda, Governor Rick Snyder announced yesterday that right to work is now on the agenda. Does this action prove to you that he is lacking leadership and has been lying about the issue all along? You've got a couple options there. The only one that seems to be popular this morning is, yes, absolutely, he is lacking leadership and has been lying. Right to work, folks, right to work for less is a disaster waiting to happen. I would be lying if I said I'm not angry. I am very angry, but I'm also, going back to our first word today, empowered. Let's hear from you. 888-552-3595. I want to welcome Pete in Clawson to First Shift. Pete, thanks for your call this morning. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you, Tony, for taking my call. Yeah, I just wanted to kind of comment on a position from, I work at a non-union company. The company is really quite sizable worldwide. There's about 115,000 employees. But, you know, oftentimes the position of where you're staying in is often your reality. Now, I do have to admit that I do reap a lot of the benefits of what the unions have struggled for as far as health care and vacation days, and I do recognize that, in part, I get those benefits because of the struggles that they have gone through to achieve those. And so... but with that being said, the thing that the company I work at, the interesting thing is we I'm in the automotive business, and we do very large assemblies. And our company competitively bids even outside our company to get the most competitive and best cost and highest quality. So the things that they don't have to hire us to do their design and engineering work. And so with having to be competitive over the last 10 years, we have cut our operating costs by 13.5% per year without even having to touch wages at all. And so that's the other hard part of the flip side of the coin is anytime you take away competition, the price goes up and the quality comes down and the efficiency goes out the window. And so it's kind of... How do you accomplish competition with guaranteeing somebody a job?
Oh, these are Pete. Thanks for your call. These are all great questions, and certainly, I appreciate your recognition that what you have in your workplace is as a direct result of what organized labor has done in their workplaces. But do you make some solid points? And certainly worthy of further discussion, and we'll get to that. 888-552-3595. Greg in Livonia joins us now on First Shift. Greg, thanks for punching in this morning. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Tony. Good morning. The right to work legislation, or as I call it, the no rights at work legislation, is a disaster for Michigan. I am a bargaining unit employee myself. I work at Chrysler Corporation, heading there now. And it sounds like Pete gets it. The unions definitely do raise the bar, and if this legislation passes, the living and the working standards in Michigan are going to drop as they have in other RTW states. The No Rights at Work legislation does nothing to spur job growth. The number one state for unemployment in the entire United States is a No Rights at Work state. It's Nevada. There's been a number of studies that demonstrate and prove that that right to work does not increase the lot of or the fortunes of the companies that that inhabit a state, and it's just a political move that's predicated just to destroy the Democratic Party. And that's all the Republicans are looking to do.
Yeah, and Greg, that's exactly what I was looking for. And I agree with you. This is just a move to try to weaken the Democratic Party and the political muscle of the middle class. And this is, you want to talk about a race to the bottom? Dude, this is a drop to the bottom.
It certainly is.
It's just a wrong priority. Greg, thank you so much for your call, and thank you for your service as a part of that bargaining unit. And stay strong. We're going to need an army. We're going to need an army. Let's go on to Keith in Detroit. Keith, thanks for punching in this morning. Happy holidays to you. What's on your mind today?
Yes, Tony, I agree with both of the callers. The right to work looks like it's just punitive on the Democrats and to the workers in this state. Also, they're trying to, I don't know, I was reading in the Free Press Sunday about the regional transit bill, and our elder spokesman for Gates Bolger says that if we don't get it done in the next 2 weeks, we can revisit it next year, but the funds may not be there next year. There are a number of things with the Republican Party that seem just to be punitive to the Democrats and to the city of Detroit. But finally, there's a very powerful editorial article by Ron Glass, superintendent of Bloomfield Hills School District, that speaks speaks to all the issues in these House bills, and he's against them. As the state superintendent school also has been against them. But it's on a local comment in Sunday Free Press, page 28, by Superintendent Bloomfield Hill School District. It lays it all out as you have been laying out, and it's very powerful. It should be read by anyone that had a chance to.
Yeah, absolutely. Keith, thank you for your call. You covered a lot of territory there. I will tell you that we were certainly last Thursday referenced Superintendent Robert Glass's letter that went out to all the parents. I believe that was in the Bloomfield Hills School District. I could be wrong on that, but it's irrelevant. He is a superintendent. He does have a strong voice and makes a compelling case for why the Educational Achievement Authority, or House Bill 6004, is wrong priorities. And we're going to talk about that with Shaitan Berry from the Michigan PTA in the next hour. But this right-to-work struggle is punitive, and that is its only purpose. 888-552-3595. Let's welcome Jason in Romeo to First Shift. Jason, a pleasure to have you on the show this morning. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Tony. Yeah, I just wanted to comment on a previous caller who was wondering about competition and how companies can compete but yet treat their workers fairly. And I think the key to that, we established that in the last 60, 70 years in this country with working standards where companies weren't going to compete by who can hire the most desperate members of our society, who can hire child labor to do their and we set standards in this country that say, yes, we're going to have a
Jason, I'm sorry your cell phone died on us, so give me a call back if you want to. And I'm not going to put words in his mouth, but I think we all know where he was going. Okay, 888-552-3595. Tom in Detroit joins us now. Good morning, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Tony. How about yourself?
I'm well, thanks. What's on your mind this morning, Tom?
Well, I just want to, you know, deal with the doom and gloom. I mean, in terms of, you know, the governor is very, very disingenuous and two-faced on this thing about the right to work. Because up until today's Wednesday, I think it was Monday, he said, it's not on my agenda. Now you do, you know, you stick your finger in the wind and, okay, all of a sudden, well, I said it even before when he said it was not on my agenda. I said, if it comes across his desk, he's going to sign it.
Yeah.
The only thing that the governor didn't sign that came across his desk was this voter suppression stuff.
Yeah, let me ask you this question. You're a very smart man, Tom, and I trust you. I consider you a friend. So let me just ask you this question. What happened yesterday? So for the people that don't know, the governor met with Jace Bulger and Randy Richardville, who are both the majority leaders in the respective chambers of the legislature. After that meeting, he came out and said, right to work is on the agenda. What does that say to you? What it says to me, I'll tell you what it says to me, and then I'd love to get your opinion on this. What it says to me was Governor Snyder has no influence over his own party, that he met with them. He either didn't make a case not to present it or didn't have a choice but to support it because they told him, you know what, Rick, we don't care what you think. We're moving ahead anyway.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I agree with the scenario you just set out. And, I mean, I don't really think the governor has the backbone to stand there and tell these two dudes, you know, like what the deal is and that kind of thing. Now, let me switch a gear.
Sure.
I want to go to, let's say you save the best to last. Thank goodness for Mike Ilitch and people of his ilk. I mean, because, you know, in terms of what he wants to do downtown, and I don't know exactly that area where he's talking about, you know, I'm all for it. Anything that's going to improve this city, that's going to be a draw to get people in here. I mean, come on, let's go ahead and, as Marvin Gaye say, let's get it on. Yeah, let's go ahead and get it on. Let's get this thing built and, you know, bring more people in here. And, you know, we're talking about tax revenues that people, you know, when you move in, you open up a business or you move in, you buy a condo or what have you, some kind of way there's a penny or two that's going to go downtown to the Coleman A. Young Municipal Center, which the city, you know, it's desperately.
Tom, it's a great plan. It's a great program. And I believe that it will eventually happen. A quick break here. What do you think about right to work for less? 888-552-3595, whether you're coming home from work or going to work, whether you're union or non-union, I know you've got an opinion, and I want to hear it. I'm Tony Trupiano. We'll take the break and be back.
This is Kevin from First Shift wishing all of our listeners a safe and happy holiday season.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
First Shift with Tony Trubiano.
In negotiating the deal with the state, the city was told to use Miller Canfield Law Firm. They had Miller Canfield on the state side and Miller Canfield on the city side negotiating this bond deal. Well, Tony, what typically happens when a municipality gets bonds from the MSA, negotiated bonds, they get that money. They get access to that money. But in this case, Tony, and this unique situation, the state said, I don't want the city to have access to its own money. This is the city's money. I'm a Detroit citizen. We're paying taxes, or we're paying interest on that borrowed money right now, $137 million. But Dylan said, I don't want the city to have access to this money. Even the Michigan Finance Authority, Tony, said they didn't have a problem with the city having access to the money. It was Andy Dylan who said, I want them to have to come to me to get permission to use the money.
On 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also, so follow us at Tony Trupiano on Twitter. We want to hear from you. Interact with First Shift. Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page. Tweet us at Tony, T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O. Or call us now, 1-888-552-3595. Now, back to the show and Tony.
10 minutes before 7 o'clock on this early Wednesday morning. We're going to get back to the phones in just a moment. We just gave you the number, so give us a call and let's talk about right to work. It is clear to me, and I said this earlier, I am angry, but I'm empowered. That anger empowers me and empowers me to movement. I'm going to tell you all right now, and I'm going to make this really, really simple. I'm keeping score. Those of you that don't show up, we will know who you are. There is no excuse. There will be something that each and every one of us can do, whether it's showing up, whether it's doing phone banking, whether it's going door to door. I don't care. There is going to be something for each and every one of us to do. And I swear, if your attitude is somebody else will do it, pray for yourselves. Seriously, pray for yourselves. Because if right to work for less passes here in the state of Michigan, I shudder at the thought. 888-552-3595. Mike in Clawson joins us now. Hello, Happy Mike. How are you today?
Good morning, Doug, Tony. Even this old 70-year-old, sometimes I guess I am radical. I think one of the solutions for us working people, for labor, is I hit the streets, like a one-day work stoppage or something. We got to let this legislature and Snyder know that we're not going to roll over.
Listen, there can be, Mike, no timidity in this. Nobody can be timid. Labor, our business, anybody that is pro-middle class must make it very clear that if they insist on moving forward with this, that there will be severe and profound consequences to their action.
I couldn't agree more.
Mike, thank you for your call. It is so important that we send a loud and clear message on multiple fronts. This isn't just about yelling loudly. It's not just about writing a letter or making a phone call. It's about all of the above, that we cannot let them breathe. We cannot let the Republicans go anywhere without them knowing that they are being watched and they are being held accountable literally everywhere they go, at the grocery store, on their way to work, on their way to their fancy little cigar-smoking, scotch-drinking Christmas parties. I don't care where it is. They have an obligation to serve all the citizens of the state of Michigan. Right to work for less is a huge disservice and an incredible insult to the men and women who work hard on a daily basis to try to protect a quality of life that is quickly disappearing. And whether it's at the federal level, at the state level, or the local level, it's all at the hands of the Republican Party. And those are clear facts. It's not an opinion. It's a fact. Republicans hate average people. Republicans hate middle-class America. And the funny thing is, most of them are in that group. They're delusional. You want to talk about low-information lawmakers? Well, they fit into that category awfully neatly. 888-552-3595. Let's go to some audio. This first piece from WXYZ on Right to Work for Less. Groups are urging people to contact their legislators. This is what they had to say.
Coming more and more of a heated debate, should Michigan become a right-to-work state? Today, grassroots activists gathered outside the state capitol, encouraging others to speak to their state lawmakers. They would like to see Michigan become the 24th right-to-work state in the country. Those coming together outside the state capitol feel workers should decide whether workers want to be in a union or not.
It's about freedom. Workers deserve to say how the money they earn is going to be spent. And right now, many people, in order to keep their job, they have to pay unions to or dues to a private organization, and we believe that's wrong.
The push started after Proposal 2, which aimed to preserve the right to collectively bargain in the state constitution for both private and public sector employees, was voted down last month. Today, citizens were asked by the Michigan chapter of Americans for Prosperity and other groups to visit their lawmakers personally, like UAW retiree Joan Fabiano.
Economic reality for Michigan, in order to be competitive, especially since Indiana passed their right to work, for businesses and therefore jobs.
Now, there are several groups against this. We spoke to the president of Local 207. He said, quote, the public just voted in the election to protect our cities from emergency managers. I feel right to work is a similar attack on the community here. So far, no bills are on the House or Senate floor. State lawmakers will be back in session tomorrow. They will adjourn for the holidays next week. No word on when the issue of right to work will come up for discussion. In Lansing, Tara Edwards, 7 Action News.
I'm not going to comment on the reporting there because it just doesn't matter. Wow. First of all of the comments you heard during that piece, and these were pro right to work for less groups, none of it is based in fact. Indiana has not seen an increase in jobs, an increase in businesses moving in. We've detailed this in a fairly dramatic way over the last year and a half. So I don't need to do that now. I mean, I certainly will be doing it again. We all need to be reminded of what a right to work does to states. Wow, it just blows my mind that people are so brainwashed. Americans prefer prosperity, my ass. All right, Richard Mack, who has been a guest on the show, an attorney with AFSCME. Anyway, let's just go to this again from WXYZ.
Richard, why are you against Michigan becoming the 24th right-to-work state?
Carolyn, it's completely undemocratic. Right-to-work basically says I can work at a shop that has a union, but I don't have to pay for the benefits that that union negotiates. So unions hire us. We negotiate wages, health care, retirement, sick time, vacation time. And all of that will go to those persons who decide not to pay the union dues to keep their $40 a month in their pocket. But if they get fired, they get to call the union, and the union still has to represent them. It's completely undemocratic. It's as if, Carolyn, you lived in a community that voted for a millage, a police millage, can increase your taxes to pay a little bit for police on the streets. And I decide I don't want to pay that tax. Right to work theory says I don't have to pay that tax, but I still get to call the police and they still have to come and arrest my bad guys. It's undemocratic.
Rishi, some people argue unions are preventing investment here in Michigan. Do you agree?
Oh, that's silly. It's right to work for less. 7 out of the top 10 states as far as unemployment in this country are right to work states. Right to work state workers make $5,500 a year less. There's higher poverty, less spending on schools. look at where the states are. They're in the South and in the West. Do we want to become the Mississippi of the North? Absolutely not. And one question I'd like to ask Scott, conservatives, especially Americans for Prosperity and all the rest, they stand on the mantra, we're not going to have you get something for nothing. Well, I'd ask.
All right, we got to leave it there. We got to get to the top of the hour break. Let's do it now. Much more when we continue.
Team 10 WDTW Continuous Traffic Watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
So far, you got a nice smooth commute on your early morning drive, but we do have construction, single lane closure. That's until 3 p.m. on Telegraph Road, northbound at Joy Road. And two lanes are going to be closed at 9 a.m. on 75, both directions at Baldwin, and also at 9 a.m. southbound 75, just before 12 mile, your right lane will be closed. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
At Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet, you can turn Thursday night into family night. Every Thursday from 5 to 8 p.m., kids eat for just 99 cents with the purchase of an adult meal. Enjoy fun activities for all at family night, only at Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy with a high of 40 degrees. Tonight, a low of 30. Tomorrow, cloudy and 47, and it's currently 36 degrees outside. This is Anthony with the First Shift weather.
Hey, it's Joe. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 AM WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. NBC News is up next.
NBC News Radio, I'm BC's Tracy Potts.
A new Washington Post Pew poll found more than half of Americans will blame Republicans if we go over the fiscal cliff.
The president insisting tax rates must rise for the wealthiest, meeting with business leaders today. Labor peace in L.A. Port workers are back on the job after an eight-day strike that cost billions in stalled cargo shipments. Clerical workers still have to ratify the pact, but they're back at work. Another rainstorm hitting soggy Northern California today, renewing flood concerns throughout the Pacific Northwest. The region bracing for yet another storm on Friday. And shop till you drop? Apparently, a lot of shoppers did just that. After record sales to begin the Christmas shopping season, sales turned flat last week, down 3%. Retail analysts blaming it on shopper fatigue. This is NBC News Radio. The U.S. Senate has turned thumbs down on an international treaty to protect the rights of the disabled, despite the support of a former GOP lion of the Senate, Bob Dole. NBC's Kelly O'Donnell.
Opponents had concerns about the fact that it's a UN treaty, raised questions about could it give, in essence, cover to countries that actually don't do a very good job but could be saying they signed on to this treaty.
Supporters say the treaty's failure is proof of a broken Senate. Food for thought, heart patients. A new study says diet is one of the most important components for heart health. People who adopt a healthy diet, in addition to taking their medications, can cut the risk of dying from heart disease by 35%. And what's in a name? Ask a British bookmaker. The odds are out on the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge and what they'll name their baby, with Charles, Diana, Elizabeth, and John the favorites. The long shots? Wayne is 250-1. Chardonnay, 1,000-1. I'm Chris Jansing, NBC News Radio.
Neuroman, one of our vendors, just called.
That's nice, Mr. Fernwell.
We owe him for a job that closed 8 months ago.
Yeah, Susan, the office manager, owes me for lunch last week.
The accounting team is swamped, Neuroman. Call Bob from Account Temps. Bob knows our accounting system inside out and can step right in so we can get caught up without all this overtime.
Maybe Bob can help me collect from Susan.
Be flexible, work smarter with Account Temps, the staffing firm recommended by 9 out of 10 hiring managers. A Robert Half company. Learn more at AccountTemps.com.
Geico says, let's make life simpler.
It's a fact of modern life. Switching isn't easy. Your bank, your cable company, your girlfriend. Let's just say each switch comes with a certain degree of difficulty. But switching to Geico, now that couldn't be easier. First of all, it only takes 15 minutes. And just like that, you could be saving hundreds on car insurance. No muss, no fuss, no irate, vengeful, significant others.
Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Imagine all the Cinderella and Thomas the Tank Engine your kids could possibly ever want.
That's what Amazon is offering starting today. The company is launching Free Time Unlimited. It's a Kindle Fire service for 3 to 8 year olds, since they know how to use it better than mom and dad do anyway. For $5 to $10 a month, your kids will have continuous access to ebooks, TV, and games geared just for them. If you don't know what to get someone and it has to be a really expensive gift, Starbucks has an idea for you. How about a $450 gift card made completely out of steel? It is now available. Ahead of a busy morning for economic reports, including November private sector jobs and November non-manufacturing activity, our stock futures are up. S&P, NASDAQ futures each gaining 4, Dow futures up 44. It's a good day for markets around the world as well. Indexes in Asia and Europe pointing moderately higher today. In early electronic trades, oil futures up a dime a barrel. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
How would you like to try a sales-generating tool for your business that is so good at locating qualified leads it's been called best of the breed? If your business thrives on selling to other businesses, then get ready for a toll-free number and a free trial offer that could literally revolutionize your sales. Hoovers, a D&B company, has developed a powerful tool to connect you to qualified buyers for your product or service that is fast and easy. No more wasting time getting leads manually. No more pre-configured lists of names that don't fit your business. Hoover's advanced targeting technology helps you reach the market that will be most receptive to your product or service. For a limited time, Hoover's would like to offer their radio listeners 50 free leads and a 24-hour trial.
Just call 800-239-0011. That's a free trial and 50 free leads. Call now. 800-239-0011. 800-239-0011. Again, 800-239-0011.
Neuroman, one of our vendors just called.
That's nice, Mr. Fernwell.
We owe him for a job that closed 8 months ago.
Yeah, Susan, the office manager, owes me for lunch last week.
The accounting team is swamped, Neuroman. Call Bob from Accountemps. Bob knows our accounting system inside out and can step right in so we can get caught up without all this overtime.
Maybe Bob can help me collect from Susan.
Be flexible, work smarter with Accountemps, the staffing firm recommended by 9 out of 10 hiring managers. A Robert Half company. Learn more at Accountemps.com.
It's not easy finding holiday gifts and staying within your budget. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today and find great gift ideas starting at $5.99, including Performance Tool Hex Set, Dorsey 4 LED Waterproof Flashlight, Slime Tire Pressure Gauge, and more. O'Reilly Auto Parts has your holiday shopping in the bag. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
As you grab your time card and get ready to punch in, and as you dedicate another day to honoring your contract and your commitment to quality, maybe it's time to reinforce to your boss and your elected representatives that they owe you for continuing to make their lives easier. And that it is the work that you do that rewards them for the work that they do. That it is because of you that progress is made. That your sacrifices and your willingness to change help them grow. And now it's time to honor what you have done. And what you have done cannot be ignored any longer. You will now raise your voice. Your voice is now. First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. It is 6 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, the fifth day of December 2012. We're going to explore in this first half hour a topic that is multifaceted and getting more interesting all the time. I've got to tell you that one of the things that occurs to me as we think about the right to work for less, and now knowing that it is for sure going to be introduced, when we don't know, in what form we don't know, but it seems to me that as we look at other pieces of legislation that are moving through this lame duck session, including House Bill 6004 and the bills that are attached to that and the Educational Achievement Authority, the last thing we needed was an announcement from the White House that the existing EAA is up for a grant, Race to the Top grant, when we don't even know if EAA is going to work, let alone why we should expand it. Well, I'm not alone in that thinking. In fact, there are many organizations that disapprove of this, of the EAA being a finalist for this Race to the Top grant. Let me turn my attention now to someone that has become a good friend of this program and an organization that has been so proactive in helping us sort through proactive education issues and identifying those that don't improve education. And I'm speaking of the one and only Chetan Berry, the president of the Michigan PTA. And Chetan, Merry Christmas and happy holidays to you. Thanks for giving us some of your time this morning.
Not a problem. The same to you, Tony. We love coming on the show.
I appreciate that. We do have a lot to keep our eyes on right now. There's no question that this lame duck session in some ways is quite historic. But with that said, when news comes out that the White House is considering providing the Educational Achievement Authority, and again, I'm not saying it's not going to work. I'm not saying it isn't working. I just don't know what it's going to do yet, Chetan. But as we take a look at that to see that they are in line for literally, and a finalist for literally millions of dollars that certainly could be used in the public school system, it really does make you wonder where our priorities are right now.
I like to use the analogy with this, is that, Tony, you had $10 billion, and you're going to build a shopping center. Would you go and hire the company that opened up 2 months ago that you haven't seen anything that they've built yet?
That's a good analogy.
It's kind of, and I agree with you, we don't know if the EAA is going to work, and we don't know if it's not going to work. How about let's take some time, see what they're doing, and then make a decision. They don't even have first semester report cards out. We have no data to show what's happening in these schools. We're not saying they're not worthy. We don't know if they're worthy or not. We have no idea what's happening in the schools. We have no idea if it's working. So how can you award somebody millions of dollars of a grant when we don't know if the money that they have already received is going to good use?
Again, these are fundamentally relatively logical and simple questions to ask, and so it does make you wonder how they end up on that list of finalists. By the way, the awards, they're four-year awards. They range anywhere from $5 million to $40 million. Again, not that the money wouldn't be welcome, not that, that this program, the Race to the Top program, shouldn't be available. It should. But, you know, let's make sure that we have our priorities in the right place. And, you know, Chetan, I want to make sure that this audience understands. And, you know, this made this letter that you sent made national news, appeared in the Washington Post. And the letter was signed not only by you as the president of the Michigan PTA, but the DPS superintendent, John Telford, and more than 100 other people and or organizations. Have you received any kind of reply from the White House?
No, we have not. Not as yet. Not yet.
All right.
I'm hopeful that we can just slow this process down. You know, we believe in education reform, and we believe that education reform needs to happen here in Michigan. But education reform shouldn't be a sprint. It should be a marathon. We should be looking at how we're going to do things and how it's going to improve for the long term. It shouldn't just be, hey, let's jump out here, let's run this 100 meters and change all of this stuff real quick, and then let's just hope that it works for our kids in 20 years.
Yeah, there's plenty, and I think that you make a good point. There's something to be said, Chetan Berry, for deliberation. There's something to be said for caution. We've talked about the Educational Achievement Authority a lot the last few weeks on this program, and, you know, it seems that the theme that keeps on recurring is a simple one. Let's just wait and see how they do before we start committing or over-committing to something that may not work. I realize that not all legislators are, you know, necessarily the brightest bulbs on the tree, Chetan, but, you know, this is common sense stuff.
Yes, I mean, it just makes sense. And again, you know, I don't want anybody to think that Michigan PTA doesn't support education reform, because we do. We just don't support education reform that's being done, performed in 30 days, where the public is not being allowed to participate. And now that the public is being allowed to participate, these meetings are coming up so quickly. They're being scheduled at some of the most odd times that it almost makes it seem as if the public participation is not wanted. When you send make a notice for education committee meeting on Wednesday that the meeting is at 1 o'clock on Thursday, I mean, that's not allowing for public participation. But in spite of that, we still have people who are making their way to Lansing saying, wait, hold on, slow down. And that's the message. Slow down. Not stop. Just slow down.
All right, you had in the letter that was sent, there were four. You asked the White House to consider four reasons why the Educational Achievement Authority should not win any race to the top funds. Let me just articulate what those are, and then we can talk about them individually. Shatan, an unproven track record, as you just said, a no set date for external auditing, a lack of oversight by the State Board of Education. And last, allegations that the district actively recruited students from outside of the initial 15 schools. I think we've pretty much, covered the no proven or an unproven track record. Just they haven't had time. They just have been around since September. So we'll let that speak for itself. But let's talk about this no set date for external auditing. You know, again, we're not playing, and the EAA does not have to play by the same administrative rules as public school systems do. And that, well, beyond it being unfair, I think that it doesn't serve students well.
Correct. If they have no accountability, I mean, there's no accountability to the State Board of Education, state superintendent. There's nothing that says, okay, how are you going to measure their achievement? If the other schools have to take the NEEP test, if they have to pass these tests and have to go through these rigors, what is the EAA going to have to go through? And there is nothing that says that. It really looks as if the EAA reports directly to the governor.
And is that the way it's supposed to work?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? Because this is a gray area, Shatan. It's not like you don't know. You're not sure because no one's sure.
Right. I mean, I'm not sure if the governor is planning on, forming a department, an education department up under his cabinet that's separate from the State Board of Education, separate from the Michigan Department of Education. We're not sure. So how does that work? Who does those parents channel their questions and concerns to?
Again, there is, of course, a superintendent of the EAA who is paid a great deal of money. I'm not sure, Shatan, if they have a board that he answers to or not. But, the bottom line here is this is not just an imperfect structure, organizational structure. And it is not a perfect organizational structure. There's no question that's true. The word accountability comes to mind. Where is the accountability in the EAA?
And we're not certain about that either.
All right. Let's take a very quick break here. We'll get to the other two planks that were sent in this letter. My guest again, president of the Michigan Parent Teacher Association, Shatan Berry, is my guest. If you'd like to give us your opinion on what's going on, feel free, 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Truppiano. First Shift continues on 1310 WDTW right after we take this break.
La, 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 la.
This is State Representative Thomas Stallworth of the 7th Legislative District, and I just want to wish everyone a happy, happy holiday.
1310 WDTW, Continuous Traffic Watch. This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
Checking your traffic, and we start off with a closure of 7 Mile Road east and west between Evergreen and the Southfield Freeway. That's due to a building fire. Now on 75 southbound, just before Baldwin, you got an overturned vehicle that's blocking your two left lanes, and traffic is stop and go from Sashaba. Southbound 75 before 9 Mile, accident has your left shoulder blocked. Traffic is slow from 12 Mile and also debris in your left lane. And on 94 westbound at Livernois, accident is blocking your right shoulder. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
At Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet, you can turn Thursday night into family night. Every Thursday from 5 to 8 p.m., kids eat for just 99 cents with the purchase of an adult meal. Enjoy fun activities for all at family night, only at Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy with a high of 40 degrees. Tonight, a low of 30. Tomorrow, cloudy and 47. And it's currently 36 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He's come over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Got something to tell Tony? We want to hear from you. Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page. Or call us now, 1-888-552-3595. Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now, back to the show and Tony.
And welcome back. 22 minutes after 7 o'clock, Shatan Berry, president of the Michigan Parent Teacher Association, is my guest. The PTA, the Michigan PTA, along with over 100 other people and organizations, sent a letter to the Department of Education asking them to eliminate as a finalist for Race to the Top grant, which could be anywhere between over 4 years, $5 to $40 million, the Educational Achievement Authority. The first two reasons that we've discussed in detail are, of course, an unproven track record, which is a big deal, and external auditing. Let's go, of course, to the next part. And although we've, Shatan kind of hit on this, the lack of oversight by the State Board of Education. And again, when we can't even identify who the EAA is accountable to, reports to, This is really confusing at a very serious level, Shaitan.
Yes, it is. I think that, you know, we have the Michigan voters elect a school, state school board to say, hey, you know, you're going to provide oversight for the Michigan Department of Education. You're going to look at these things. And this is who we voted to say will supervise our schools in a sense. So if the Michigan voters voted that way, how can we create a school system that doesn't align with that?
Oh, that's I mean, again, these are fundamentally important, logical, and simple questions that deserve, you know, answers. And I'm going to seek some of these answers out because this is really starting to get under my craw. Last but not least on this list is an allegations, as we said, that the district actively recruited students from outside the initial 15 schools. Let me remind Shaitan, Barry, this audience, that the 15 schools that are in the Educational Achievement Authority are there because they are in the bottom 5% of performing schools in the city of Detroit. Not in the state, the city of Detroit. All right, the allegations are out there. Is anybody investigating?
I'm not quite sure, but it's obvious and clear. The EAA had commercials that aired on the radio, that aired on TV about the EAA come to their school. They will have individualized educational plans for every school, every student. They will have all of these things. That is advertising and recruiting other students,
it is.
So it wasn't just about the lowest performing school. If you took some of the higher performing kids from a different school and now they're in the EAA school, it just doesn't seem right.
Well,
and that's just it.
Let me suggest this. As we look at public education, and we know, Shaitan Barry, that the current legislature has been very, very disrespectful to the current crop of teachers, public school teachers in the state of Michigan. They've changed tenure rules. They're killing morale. The so-called achievement marks are a moving target. I often say I don't think our legislatures ever had teachers because they don't seem to have much compassion for them. With that said, you know, it seems to me that what they are proposing through the EAA may not be bad ideas. I have no problem with individualized learning. Why is it that we can't offer the same or these same programs to those that are in the 85% of districts that are being ignored in the city of Detroit?
Correct. I think that we just, again, it's looking at the entire picture and looking at every one of those students in the city of Detroit and across the state, because it is a civil rights, a human rights issue for every child to receive a public education, a quality public education, period. So we should be putting things in place to assure that every child receives a quality education, not just the kids in the lowest performing schools, because we need that as well, but to make sure that every child receives that quality education, and we're not letting any child slip between the cracks. And education reform, again, is not a sprint. It's a marathon. We have to continue this process. It's not an easy fix. There's no one fix cures everything. That's not the case. But we need to just stop, slow down, and actually look at things and figure out what is the best reform for every child across the state, regardless of what zip code they live in.
You couldn't have said that any nicer. I was at a meeting last Thursday, and somebody got up and said, you know, the expansion of the EAA and that legislation has now become important news statewide. And you know, someone, and I don't disagree with this, somebody said, you know, it wasn't that big a deal until it hit the suburbs. Well, you know, there's some truth to that. It wasn't when it was just the black kids that were you know, that were, and I, I'm just being honest. When it was just the black kids that were affected, it's not a big deal. When it's all of a sudden white kids, well, now we've got a problem. But we'll save that for another conversation. Shaitan, let's go to the phones and welcome Harry in Novi. Harry, thanks for your call this morning. You're on the air with Michigan PTA President Shaitan Berry.
Hi, Harry.
Thank you, Tony. I'm a teacher, and I'm in an urban area, but I think what I see is going on is that basically the ultimate goal of these, I think the ultra-right wing of the Republican Party is driving this, and I think ultimately they want to privatize all schools, make them for profit eventually, and I think that's one reason they're going fast right now, but I think ultimately I don't think they like the concept of private public education. They want to make it susceptible to the market economy and competition and privately owned. I think that's the ultimate goal behind this now. And it's not really about educating children or reforming. It's about privatizing the schools and making them for profit in the end. When everything's said and done, that's the ultimate goal.
Now, Harry, thank you. By the way, thank you for your service as a teacher. Thank you for your passion on this topic. And thank you for calling this morning. You know, Shaitan, this is, I think, a fine example. I was talking about morale. There you go.
Yeah, I mean, there's something to be said about the attack on our public school teachers. They are the people that are in the classroom educating our children. And if we don't support them, and if we don't make them feel good about doing the job that they do, even just supporting them and saying you're doing a great job, how are they doing a great job? How can they do a great job when they're constantly thinking about, am I going to get a pink slip today? Am I going to be able to feed my kids today? You know, how much money do I have left? So we've got to do a better job of supporting the people who are educating our children. So thank you, teachers across this state, across this country, who continue to give despite what's being said about
them. You know, it's interesting. We're sitting here talking about the race to the top, getting students to the top, and yet at the same time, there's this race to the bottom with regard to rules and regulations, laws, and the way we pay teachers, and the way that we have financially hampered them over the last 2 years. So on one hand, we're saying, oh, yeah, we're going to give more money to the kids. On the other hand, we're going to take that money from the teachers. So there's something wrong with this picture, and this story will be continued. Shaitan, as always, it's a pleasure to visit with you. I hope you're well. Have a great holiday season if we don't talk to you until after the first of the year.
You do the same, Tony. Thanks for having me.
As always, my pleasure. Shaitan Berry, president of the Michigan Parent Teacher Association. All right, a quick break here. Let's take it. A much nicer story on the other side. It may be the only real nice one we get to today. Foster children and higher education, do they get lost in the system? Is there help and hope for them? We'll get that all figured out on the other side. This is First Shift. We'll be back right after this.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
Checking your traffic, and we start off with a closure of 7 Mile Road east and west between Evergreen and the Southfield Freeway. That's due to a building fire. Now on 75 southbound, just before Baldwin, you got an overturned vehicle that's blocking your two left lanes, and traffic is stop and go from Sashabaugh. Southbound 75 before 9 Mile, accident has your left shoulder blocked. Traffic is slow from 12 Mile and also debris in your left lane. And on 94 westbound at Livernois, accident is blocking your right shoulder. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
At Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet, you can turn Thursday night into family night. Every Thursday from 5 to 8 p.m., kids eat for just 99 cents with the purchase of an adult meal. Enjoy fun activities for all at family night, only at Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy with a high of 40 degrees. Tonight, a low of 30. Tomorrow, cloudy and 47, and it's currently 36 degrees outside. This is Anthony with the First Shift Weather.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises.
I'm Doug Cunningham.
With budget talks stalemated for now in Washington, President Obama holding the line, insisting on tax increases for the top 2%, economist Dean Baker is urging people to calm down about the so-called fiscal cliff.
A lot of people in Washington are really trying to hype it. You know, certainly the term itself, fiscal cliff, you know, we're going to fall off the edge. But it's almost impossible to imagine a scenario come, you know, whether it's January 5th, January 10th, you don't see a deal pretty quickly between the president and Congress. They get tax rates back down to the current levels for the rest of us. And, you know, for the top 2%, that's what we had the election over. They're going to pay higher taxes.
Baker says Social Security is fine far into the future, while raising the cap on income subject to the Social Security tax would close any funding gaps in decades to come. He says Medicare can be sustained, but we have to bring health care costs down. And he says raising wages while narrowing income inequality would go a long way toward fixing budget imbalances.
Now, over a long term, we should be seeing wage growth. The longer term problem, certainly, you know, the fact that the winners, the beneficiaries of economic growth have been almost exclusively those at the top end over the last three decades. That's a really big deal. I mean, that's created the sort of imbalances that got us into this.
Walmart could make a massive contribution to the U.S. economy simply by giving its workers a small wage increase. Jesse Russell reports.
Increasing the wages of workers who earn $21,000 on average per year to $25,000 per year would lift 700,000 Americans above the poverty line. That's according to a study released by the think tank Demos, which focused specifically on the low wages of the retail sector. The study shows that giving what amounts to a 27% raise to workers at companies which employ 1,000 workers or more would have a ripple effect impacting more than 5 million retail workers and their families. Nearly 770,000 workers currently just above the poverty line would see their incomes rise 150% above that line. According to Demos, such an increase would see the GDP rise by between $11.8 billion and $15.2 billion next year. The overall growth from increased spending power would allow for the creation of an additional 100,000 to 132,000 jobs.
The Coalition Against Segregation of Temporary Employees, CAST, is filing a class action discrimination suit in Chicago today, alleging that Johnson & Johnson supplier VPAC, Inc., is systematically discriminating against African Americans in temporary agency hiring. After they file the suit, activists will inform shoppers at the Chicago Austin Walmart about the alleged discrimination. Supporting actions are also being held by worker activists today in New Brunswick, New Jersey, and in Los Angeles.
You've been listening to WIND, Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Got a question or comment? Call now. 888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
On 1310 WDTW.
Welcome back. It is 35 minutes after 7 o'clock, and I said I got a little good news. And we'll take some good news on this Wednesday morning. Let me give you a little background. Many of you know that listen to the program on a regular basis that my mom and dad, when I was a kid, were foster parents. We had lots of foster kids in and out of our house. There were five of us as it was, so it was always a lot of fun, and I do mean that. It was always a lot of fun when we had foster kids come through the house. Some of them would be there a very short period of time. Some of them, one was there for over 2 years. My sister and brother-in-law are foster parents and, in fact, have adopted two of their foster kids. But not every foster kid is that lucky, and sometimes you can languish in the foster care system, end up getting to adulthood or approaching adulthood without ever being permanently placed with a family. Have you ever asked yourself the question, what happens to those kids? What happens if they want to go to college, or if they get into college, how they pay for it without having a family support structure? What happens when there's a holiday break, or, you know, after finals are over with? Where do these kids go, and where do they get guidance? Well, I'm happy to tell you there's a new program out there that is going to support quite a few of those kids. Let me turn my attention now to my next guest, and joining us is Steve Yeager. Steve is director of the Children Services Administration for the Department of Human Services here in the great state of Michigan. Steve, happy holidays to you, and welcome to First Shift.
Well, thank you, Tony. It's a pleasure to be here.
This is a good story, and we don't have a lot of good news this morning. So, you know, thanks for bringing some sunshine with you. I appreciate it.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Yeah, did I lay that out properly? You know, do I pretty much have it right that sometimes these kids really just kind of fall in a no man's or no women's land?
Yeah, you did an excellent job of laying this out, Tony. Some of our foster youth, you know, as they're coming into care at older ages and turning 18 and needing to move on to post-secondary education, don't have the supports that some other foster youth do who are able to be returned home, be adopted, or in permanent guardianships.
And I want to point out, it's not that these are troubled kids. There may be lots of reasons why they're in the situation that they're in, but you know, certainly, especially if I'm in this situation, I am a foster kid. I dream of getting that college education, and you know that certainly should be something that should be available to anybody, no matter what circumstances you're born into. You're here to talk about a pretty wonderful program that has been given a nice $800,000 shot in the arm.
Yeah, absolutely. These are great kids. You know, some of these kids come into care at age 16 or 17, and they just don't want to be adopted at that point, and they really want to work toward independence. And so we're happy to develop a program to provide some additional supports. In 2008, we began to partner with Western Michigan University with the CETA Scholars Program. It's a great program that fully supports foster youth at that university. But a hallmark of that program is they provide campus coaches. These are folks that are on-site full-time to support foster youth and to provide them with the kind of supports that other youth, you know, parents might do. They'll help them with things like education, working through the financial aid world at college, and we all know that's difficult at best. They'll help them with employment, housing. And as you mentioned earlier, Tony, they'll even help them with, you know, what do we do over the break, over Thanksgiving break or Christmas break? You know, they'll work to create housing situations, work to support them where they can stay on campus and have a good experience over the holidays. So just provide some great supports for these kids. So we took that model. We know it works. The foster youth at Western told us that it works and that they really like that support. And so we have executed grants with 7 universities across Michigan and $800,000 per year for a 3-year contract with an opportunity to extend that for 2 more years so that we can provide those same kinds of supports to foster youth and other universities across the state.
You know, and Steve Yeager, it's not just great that this program's available. It's actually been wildly successful.
Absolutely. The youth at Western Michigan University have just reported tremendous success there. They've been able to maintain their work at the university in a manner similar to any other student there. And so these supports have just been critical to help them be successful in their educational experience.
You know, let's for a moment, and you may or may not have this information, but have we studied at any level what happens to the kids that don't or can't be afforded this post-secondary opportunity when they approach adulthood? What happens to these, let's call them kids for the purposes of this discussion?
Yeah, I don't have any specific data in front of me, Tony, but we do know nationally that as kids age out of the foster care system without permanency, that they do experience difficulties with joblessness, homelessness, those kinds of issues. And we know that we need to really support this population of kids much more aggressively.
If I'm a foster kid or I'm a foster family and I'm listening to us this morning, Steve Yeager, how can I get more information about this program and whether or not it might be right for me or somebody in my charge?
We can certainly contact any of the 7 universities, Ferris State, Baker College at Flint, Michigan State University, Saginaw Valley State, University of Michigan Flint, Eastern Michigan University, Wayne State University, and, of course, Western Michigan University. So you can contact those universities, and they would be happy to help you. You can also contact our department. We would be happy to assist anybody in connecting with these resources.
I just think that this is a fabulously important program, and for a lot of people, I would think, Steve Yeager, is, you know, they don't you know, it's these are one of those things that people just don't think about, because for the majority of people, they're not connected to the foster care system, and so that this wouldn't necessarily be in their purview. And of course, this is nothing but a good news story. I love the fact that there's a dedicated staff member, full-time staff member at that particular campus that is there specifically to provide guidance and mentorship. I would think that this is a critical component. Steve, I'm sitting here thinking about my own college career. Obviously, you had a college career. Can you imagine having done that without family?
Absolutely not. I mean, again, students report that just the financial aid piece is just, you know, really difficult for them to figure out how to do the FAFSA and the other financial pieces and just things like, you know, what do you do in terms of living arrangement, housing? What do you do if you're sick? How do you navigate the medical community? Just some of the basic things where parents normally would be there to support kids and provide that kind of safety net for them, they don't have that necessarily.
One of the things that I believe that is critically important, and again, whether it was when I was a kid or as I've gotten older and through the experience that my sister and brother-in-law have had in the foster care system, you know, a vast majority of these children truly just want to be validated, Steve Yeager. They want to know that they're valued, that they have options, that life can be can afford them the same opportunities, and that's really what they're asking for, just to have access to opportunity. These are the vast majority of these young people, especially young adults, are do not have a victim's mentality. They just have a lack of support, and God forbid we don't give them these opportunities. This is really a gift. I begin to tell you how wonderful I feel this program is.
Yeah, you know, I think one of the key ingredients for any young person is they need to have hope. And, you know, our ability to come in and provide some support here helps provide them with hope for a future, and you know, we all need that.
Oh, there's no question. There's absolutely no question we all need hope. It's something we talk about a great deal about in this program, hope and faith and again, the just access, just something as simple as access. Steve, I want to thank you for being with us today. I'm going to bet that you know, we've just given, a couple people a Christmas gift this morning, not realizing that this program is available. And this certainly, Steve Yeager, deserves a lot of publicity because it's literally going to help hundreds of young adults find lives that some of them probably, Steve, never thought they'd have.
Absolutely, and I really want to thank you for the opportunity to be able just to talk about this today, and I want to thank you know, your sister and brother-in-law and your mom and dad for their part for stepping up and providing a home for kids. What a great thing that they've done.
You know, before I let you go, I will say this. If people have ever considered fostering, it is the most rewarding thing you will ever go through. And, you know, you really do, you can define how you want it to look. I want people to understand that. They know they're always looking for more homes in the foster care system. There will never be enough. But, folks, if this is something you're interested in, all you have to do is go online. You'll easily find it. Lots of support out there. Lots of, Steve, great training for people that want to foster. There are a few things more rewarding than fostering.
Absolutely. Go on our website. We always need good people to step up and provide a home either temporarily or permanently for these young people.
Absolutely. Steve Yeager, again, happy holidays to you, and thanks so much for being with us this morning.
Thank you, Tony. It was a pleasure.
I appreciate it. Let me just list off the schools again, or you can get a hold of the Department of Human Services. But the universities that are participating in this grant program, Michigan State University, Wayne State University, Baker College of Flint, Ferris State University, Saginaw Valley University, Eastern Michigan University, the University of Michigan Flint, and, of course, Western Michigan University, where it all started. Steve Yeager, thank you so much, and I want to thank everybody in the foster care system. I really don't think you understand, and that's okay. That's the whole point of what we do. We help educate you how important programs like this are to young people that wouldn't have opportunity any other way. This is a gift. A quick break here, and we'll be back. We'll be open lines in the last segment of this hour. So if you've got something on your mind, if you want to comment on the dastardly Governor Snyder right-to-work agenda, for less, call us, 888-552-3595. We'll be back.
When friends come to call, it's the happiest season of all.
Hi, this is Gilda Jacobs, CEO of the Michigan League for Public Policy. I want to wish everybody a happy and safe and wonderful holiday season.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5022.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting
for you now.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.com. Or call 248-585-9671.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift with me, Tony Trupiano, after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
I am Tony Trupiano. He is Kevin Moore, president of Teamsters Local 299.
It just goes to show that boots on the ground and people at the voting polls, no matter if you make them stay 8-9 hours, this is America, and they tried voter suppression to keep people in line for 8-9 hours, elderly people. And you know what? They stood in line.
That's
right. They said, you're not going to steal this election from me. They tried to do everything in their power. Big money tried to do everything in their power. You can bet them 1%er sat home and got an absentee ballot and voted. They never waited in no line. Them guys wouldn't stand in line for a cup of coffee.
On 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He's comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Got something to tell Tony? We want to hear from you. Call now. 888-552-3595. Every voice matters. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW.
10 minutes before 8 o'clock, Stephen Henderson coming up after the top of the hour break, but we got plenty of time. Feel free to join us. You've got the number. Email address, tony@thetonyshow.org. Get some email here in just a few moments. On Twitter, at Tony Trupiano. Let me turn my attention now to Steve in Monroe, who was kind enough to call us. Merry Christmas to you, Steve. Thanks for giving us a call this morning.
Merry Christmas, Tony. Here's what I don't understand to a certain extent. I think the unions picked a fight when there was no fight to pick when they tried to put collective bargaining into our Constitution. Can I make my point?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I mean, the Republicans had control of the House, a supermajority in the Senate, and they had the governorship these first 2 years. They could have passed right to work anytime they wanted to, but they didn't. They didn't. And I don't think they would be talking about this now as far as putting legislation for right to work if the unions wouldn't have pushed through, you know, this ballot initiative to get collective bargaining in the Constitution. I don't think it would have happened.
Okay.
I just don't know why they picked a fight that wasn't there.
Okay. And the fight was there. What they've done, the public sector unions, the legislature, I'm saying, Steve, is inexcusable. What they've done to school teachers is inexcusable. They have passed over 100 pieces of legislation that have weakened rules for union members. There was a reason they were doing this. It wasn't picking a fight for no reason. There was a reason, number one. Number two, they lost the fight, Steve. Okay? Unions lost the fight. Prop 2 didn't pass. Isn't that punishment enough?
Well, you're talking about political. It was, everything's political now, Tony, whether we like it or not.
And we don't.
You know, and now the Republicans, now, if the citizens don't agree in the state, then guess what? They'll clean house and they'll get rid of these representatives. That's how the system works. So, you know, they've been elected. They're going to make a decision. If they even make it, Tony, they might not even come to an agreement on how to do it.
But you're right. But you're right. But, Steve, we, you know, I'll let you finish. Go ahead.
No, the only point I was going to say is if they enrage the citizenry of Michigan, guess what? They'll get voted out, and that'll change. That's, you know, I guess you could say that's the beauty of it. If you don't like what your representative's doing, you can kick them out.
You're right, but that doesn't mean we have to wait for an election, Steve, to do it. You know, you can protest, you can lobby. There are lots of things that you can do to affect change. You can write, you can call. You don't have to wait for an election to affect change. Would you agree on that?
No, sure. You have the right to voice your opinion, to protest. You have the right to do all that. But I'm saying, and you can sway public opinion one way or the other. You know, on the right side, we can do the same thing. You know, I'm just saying, you can do all those things, but when it comes down in 2 years to elect people, we'll see where the chips fall. If they don't agree with it, they'll get rid of these reps, and then you'll have legislation probably looking to repeal it.
Nah, Steve, the beauty of gerrymandering, the Republicans have taken good care of themselves. I appreciate your thoughts on this, and thank you for the call this morning. I think Steve, at some level, has some legitimate comments there, but I'll also say that on top of protesting, on top of lobbying, and a lot of the other things we can do, there's this thing called recall. And whether you agree with recall or not, it is a legitimate option. Listen, we do not have to sit back and take this. And I'm going to say, I said it earlier, I'm going to say it again right now. If you are not up to fighting this fight, get the hell away from me. I don't want you listening to this show, and I don't want you polluting those around you. If you don't feel you can step up and fight this fight, then just quietly go away. We need everybody in on this. Attorney Richard Mack's on the other end of our line. We played a little audio of him earlier on Channel 7 from yesterday as he was sitting with Carolyn Clifford. Richard, I really do appreciate you giving us a call this morning. My brother, Merry Christmas to you.
Hey, man, Merry Christmas. No matter what, it's going to be a Merry Christmas. You know, those little three-minute mini debates they have just don't give you the chance to get all about what you want to get out of me. The thing about right to work, it's so despicable, is that even in right-to-work states, unions are required by law to represent persons who elect not to pay union dues. So the law requires that those members, those free riders, get something for nothing. And my question to the gentleman from Americans for Progress, a group that has railed against welfare, cut unemployment, cut, you know, benefits for the needy, work requirements for welfare, because they stand against something for nothing, except for when it involves weakening union power in the state. I mean, it's so hypocritical. It's just, like you said, it's dastardly. And I think any conservative worth his or her salt, especially those listening to this program, and I'd really like to hear it, Tony. I haven't heard it yet. I'd really like to hear a conservative explain how you can stand for a right to work, meaning that union and workers get something for nothing, while at the same time you stand against welfare. You stand against helping for the needy. You stand against all of that because you don't want people to get something for nothing.
Well, the hypocrisy. Oh, the hypocrisy, Richard Mack, is astounding. And, you know, you're a much smarter guy than I am, so let me just make this, I want you to help me out here. Are you forced to join a union in the state of Michigan? Are you forced to do that by law?
Well, federal law requires that unions cannot discriminate against individuals who work in a shop that is voted to have a union in place.
All right, but you're not forced. You're not forced to join a union in this.
Oh no!
State.
You are not forced.
Absolutely.
To join a union. You are. It's majority rules. It's the American principle. It's the principle of if the majority of us decide to join a union, we will have a union in this shop.
All right.
In the worst state. Yeah.
Right. Well, so that's one question. My second question is actually even simpler. Aren't non-union shops the vast majority of workplaces in the state of Michigan?
Absolutely.
Okay, so if you don't want to work in a union shop, you have options elsewhere, correct?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay. So we're basically looking to create a law that doesn't exist, isn't necessary. In essence, it's something we've talked about way too often on the show, Richard Mack. We're actually trying to provide a solution that's looking for a problem.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the worst part about it is for those folks who think, oh, this is just a union fight, I'm not in a union, it doesn't matter. Oh, it does matter. Because if you look at those states that have right-to-work laws, $5,500 less per average on a worker, less money per student for education, higher poverty rates, higher infant mortality rates, worse health care. Those states are worse because, Tony, it's economics. It's undemocratic, and it makes bad economic sense. If you take unions away from the equation, negotiating for higher wages, you get lower wages as a result, and what happens is you get less money into the economy, you get less money into the pockets of middle-class workers, and therefore, the economic studies will show you get less jobs in the state. That's why right-to-work states, 7 to 10 of the highest unemployment states in America are right-to-work states.
Absolutely. Richard, we're out of time this hour. We got to get to the top of the hour. Thank you so much, my brother, for the call.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. We're going to continue this conversation with Stephen Henderson of the Detroit Free Press. On the other side, stay with us. This is First Shift.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
We're picking up some more problems on your commute. Let's head over to Lapeer Road north of Silver Bell Road. Accident is blocking one lane. Still have that closure of 7 Mile Road, both directions between Evergreen and Southfield Freeway. That's due to that building fire. 75 southbound just before Baldwin got a multi-vehicle accident with an overturned vehicle. Left 2 lanes are blocked. Stop and go traffic from Ortonville Road. 75 southbound just before 9 Mile, accident has your left shoulder blocked, and traffic is slow from Rochester. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
At Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet, you can turn Thursday night into family night. Every Thursday from 5 to 8 p.m., kids eat for just 99 cents with the purchase of an adult meal. Enjoy fun activities for all at family night, only at Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
Sound off on our Facebook page, facebook.com/1310WDTWAM.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano, right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this top of the hour NBC News.
NBC News Radio, I'm Jim Mikleshevsky. Cargo flowing again through two of the nation's busiest ports this morning, ending an 8-day strike at the twin ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach, a strike that cost billions of dollars. L.A. Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa.
Strike that's had a tremendous impact on the city of Los Angeles and on the nation. And obviously, this is a great, great day.
Clerical workers back on the job but still have to ratify the deal. President Obama huddling with business leaders today as he presses Republicans on the fiscal cliff negotiations. Obama says the GOP plan is unbalanced because it maintains low tax rates for the wealthy. Egypt's president back on the job after a day of demonstrations that forced him to leave the presidential palace. They're demanding Mohamed Morsi rescind decrees, giving him sweeping powers. And don't drink to this, New York. Stats show the Empire State the easiest place for underage drinkers to get booze. Toughest state, New Mexico. This is NBC News Radio. New York police have a suspect in that grisly subway death of Queens resident Kisa Khan, who was thrown onto the tracks and crushed to death. NBC's Mara Schiavacampo says a New York Post cover photo of the death is stirring debate.
Freelance photographer Omar Abbasi took the now controversial photo of Khan's last moments, showing him desperately trying to climb off the tracks. Other witnesses say they did try to get the train to stop, but no one actually lent a hand.
A homeless drifter reportedly confessed to tossing Han onto the tracks. The death toll from a powerful typhoon in the southern Philippines has climbed to more than 280 people. Officials fear it could go much higher as rescuers reach areas that have been cut off by landslides. And Hollywood's most overpaid actor? According to Forbes magazine, it's funny man Eddie Murphy, whose recent films Imagine That, A Thousand Words, and Meet Dave were colossal flops. Runners-up, Katherine Heigl, Reese Witherspoon, Sandra Bullock, and Jack Black. I'm Jim Mikleshevsky, NBC News Radio.
HGTV is your home sweet home for the holidays. Catch an all-new buying and selling tonight at 9 on HGTV.
Drew is really good at giving me space, especially when the work starts.
What was that?
Why don't you turn it off?
I can't hear you when you're complaining.
Feel the magic.
This is awesome.
And spread the love.
I love buying.
I love building.
I love selling, too.
All-new buying and selling tonight at 9, 8 central on HGTV. Your home sweet home for the holidays.
I also really love making Jonathan do all the hard work.
Know why I pulled you over, ma'am?
I'm sorry, officer. I know I was speeding, but...
No buts about it, ma'am.
But it's Sears one-day sale.
Seriously? Follow me!
Whatever it takes, get the Sears one-day sale with Friday Preview. Find great gift deals, like up to 50% off all mechanics tool sets. Jeans for the family starting at $14.99. This is how to gift. This is Sears. Plus, members can get $10 and shop your waypoints when you spend $50 or more. Members earn points on qualifying purchases subject to full program terms available at shopyourway.com. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Prices may vary in Alaska, Hawaii, Puerto Rico. Offer ends 12/8/12.
If you have to get someone a really expensive gift and you have no idea what it should be, Starbucks has an idea for you. How about a $450 gift card? The card itself made out of steel. The company is making only 5,000 of them. They are personalized, and they do come with a few perks, such as some free refills on brewed coffee and tea. Next week, the Fed will gather for the final policy-setting meeting of 2012, and barring a deal struck over the next few days, looming large over the meeting will be the looming fiscal cliff and its potential for stalling or even reversing economic growth. Reuters reports that fiscal cliff fear will prompt the Fed to enact a new round of bond repurchases to prop up the nation's GDP. Big reading of U.S. jobs coming up at 15 past. Economists surveyed by Market Watch think 118,000 jobs were added to the nation's private sector last month. That would be fewer than in October, but many experts have to account for Hurricane Sandy. S&P, NASDAQ futures each up 5 points. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
How would you like to try a sales-generating tool for your business that is so good at locating qualified leads it's been called best of the breed? If your business thrives on selling to other businesses, then get ready for a toll-free number and a free trial offer that could literally revolutionize your sales. Hovers, a D&B company, has developed a powerful tool to connect you to qualified buyers for your product or service that is fast and easy. No more wasting time getting leads manually. No more pre-configured lists of names that don't fit your business. Hoover's advanced targeting technology helps you reach the market that will be most receptive to your product or service. For a limited time, Hoover's would like to offer their radio listeners 50 free leads and a 24-hour trial.
Just call 800-239-0011. That's a free trial and 50 free leads. Call now. 800-239-0011. 800-239-0011. Again, 800-239-0011.
Merriman, one of our vendors just called.
That's nice, Mr. Fernwell.
We owe him for a job that closed 8 months ago.
Yeah, Susan, the office manager, owes me for lunch last week.
The accounting team is swamped, Merriman. Call Bob from Account Temps. Bob knows our accounting system inside out and can step right in so we can get caught up without all this overtime.
Maybe Bob can help me collect from Susan.
Be flexible, work smarter with Account Temps, the staffing firm recommended by 9 out of 10 hiring managers. A Robert Half company. Learn more at AccountTemps.com.
It's not easy finding holiday gifts and staying within your budget. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today and find great gift ideas starting at $5.99, including Performance Tool Hex Set, Dorsey 4-LED Waterproof Flashlight, Slime Tire Pressure Gauge, and more. O'Reilly Auto Parts has your holiday shopping in the bag. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Progressive. Favoring or advocating progress, change, improvement, or reform, as opposed to wishing to maintain things as they are. Conservative. Disposed to preserve existing conditions or institutions, or to restore traditional ones, and to limit change. First Shift with Tony Trupiano. A rational path to follow in order to forge ahead, allowing for deliberate advancement and a way forward that benefits the entirety of society while allowing a difference of opinion. Well, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Now, here's Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. It is 6 minutes after 8 o'clock on a really interesting Wednesday morning. And obviously, there are many of you. And I want to thank everybody that has called this morning to talk about the disastrous decision by our governor to put, quote-unquote, on his agenda, right to work. We're going to get to that literally in just a moment. In the meantime, if you want to join us throughout this half hour or any time during our program, feel free to do that. 888-552-3595. The email address, tony@thetonyshow.org. And as I have chance a little bit later on in today's show, I'm going to try to get to some of the really great emails we've been getting today. With that said, guys, give me an intro and let's get going.
Editorial page editor and host of American Black Journal, the Detroit Free Press's and First Shift voice of reason.
The Republican Party has now officially unmasked itself as primarily existing to protect the wealthiest Americans from any tax increases, as they don't appear to really have any other core principle that they're unwilling to bargain with, which is really disappointing because it's a party that has a very important and rich history and has a record of focusing on lots of different things, but it has been reduced to this one issue.
Mr. Stephen Henderson.
And joining us now is Mr. Stephen Henderson. Even though the email gods tried to intervene and keep us apart today, Stephen, we would not let that happen.
That's right. No way.
No way. Well, I mean, we certainly, Stephen, we would be doing a disservice to this or any audience by not starting our conversation this morning with a right to work. Certainly after months of saying it wasn't on his agenda, and this is what I find curious, Stephen. After meeting with the leader in the Senate and the House yesterday, Randard Richardville and Jace Bolger, respectively, all of a sudden, the governor comes out of that meeting and says, guess what? Right to work's on my agenda all of a sudden. Stephen, I'm not confused, but I am angry.
Well, I think it's disappointing, that's for sure, that you know, he at least publicly has changed what he's been saying about this. And I think there's a little bit of sort of maneuvering going on here. There's no question that the Republican caucus in both the House and the Senate are under a lot of pressure to push this ahead. I think, you know, there's a lot more enthusiasm for it in the House than there is in the Senate. But both of them are really being pushed by the folks in this state who really want to see this turn into a right to work state, to at least take a run at it. And so in turn, they're pressuring the governor, saying, look, if we do this, we're going to need you to sign it. And, we need you to change the position that you've had, which was that Michigan doesn't need this fight. You know, I mean, we've got other things to do. We have other ways to move our economy actually ahead instead of playing around with stuff that doesn't. So I think he's changing his public stance in part to try to signal to everyone else that, look, there is some pressure, and maybe we've got to have a different kind of discussion about what else could be done to sort of satisfy some of this thirst for a right to work without actually getting to that fight. I think it's a sign that the governor is feeling the pressure as much as anybody else is in Lansing to address this issue. And so I think that's a signal to the union, frankly, that look, you got to be willing to bargain a little on this stuff. I'm not sure you can take a hard line no, given the enthusiasm for this in Lansing. At least I hope that's what it is, because the governor has spoken before, I think, about very eloquently about what else he wants to do and the danger of this kind of fight in a place like Michigan, which I think is very real. And boy, if we're going to go at it over this, all bets are off. This will be the nastiest and sort of most arduous political fight you have ever seen in the state of Michigan.
Oh, there's no question that's true. Let me just back up here for a moment, Stephen, and just ask you a simple question. And I really feel the governor could have showed leadership either way on this months ago. he's been asked this question how many different ways. If right to work was put on your desk, would you sign it? His answer has traditionally been, it's not on my agenda. But that's not a yes, and that's not a no.
Right.
Isn't he partially responsible for whatever pressure he's feeling right now by not showing leadership on this issue?
Well, I think, I wish that that's what he had done. I wish he had made it clear earlier that this was just not something he was interested in doing at all. Now, I don't sit in the position he does. I mean, I don't have to answer to some of the people he's got to answer to. I mean, his own caucus is what's all hopped up on this idea, and so I think he tried, and maybe this is about political inexperience. He tried, you know, to seek out a position where he could sort of play the middle and not get either side too worked up about where he was. Now, of course, that was before the Prop 2 stuff went on. I think he also made horrible miscalculations with when he signed some of the anti-union legislation that came out of the legislature, which of course scared the unions about what he was going to do. I mean, he's misplayed this. There's no question, because we shouldn't be in this position, not in this state, not when we're trying to do some things to move ourselves ahead. I'm not sure that this is an improvement, from the governor in terms of politics. I mean, I think the people who are pushing this are completely underestimating the fight that they will have on their hands, which really stuns me. I mean, I'm not sure why you think in the birthplace of the UAW you would be able to run something like this and not pay a humongous political price. But I do think the governor has misplayed this, and I'm hoping that before it's too late, he gets to the point where he can calm this down and we don't have to have this argument. Because again, I think this is something that could really do serious political damage to both sides going forward for a very long time.
Yeah, I think one of the greater problems here is, and I've talked to a lot of people both on the air and off the air that are far more learned than I am. Stephen, I'll be the first to admit that. And I've yet to hear anybody say that this is anything but political vengeance on the part of the GOP, the political arm of the GOP, that's all this right-to-work conversation is about. They are trying to exact some vengeance. Since when isn't winning an election? They won the issue on Prop 2. The voters said no. Why isn't that enough vengeance, Stephen?
Well, I think there's some anger about the fact that the unions even tried Prop 2 and forced a pretty expensive fight over that. But I would also say that, you know, I mean, I hear from lots of people all the time who actually believe that in right to work, and I don't think that's a particularly cynical calculation on their part. I think they believe that that's a better way to manage labor management relations in a state. They believe that right to work states are doing better than the other states, even when I can sort of produce stats. You know, I mean, the numbers on this are not unclear. If you look at almost any measure of economic health, right to work states are doing worse than states where you have collective bargaining. The only exception is in terms of job growth. You do see a lot of jobs going to right to work states, but the reason that's true is because they're generally lower paying jobs with fewer benefits. And so they don't end up moving the state's economy ahead the way that other jobs do. I mean, you look at GDP per capita in right to work states, it's lower than it is in other states. You look at poverty rates in right to work states, they are much, much higher. 11 of the 15 states with the highest poverty rates are right to work states. So, I mean, I don't think that's a good argument. I think that it doesn't It doesn't make things better, but I know people who do, and I think that they're, you know, ideologically, that's part of their belief. But the other thing that is going on here is a political payback. I mean, if you look at what the strength of the unions is in this state, it's in supporting the Democratic Party and its candidates. And I think that what some people sense is an opportunity to deal a real blow to Democrats by essentially cutting the legs out from under the unions. And so that doesn't have anything to do with the economy. That does have to do with politics. And that's, I think, why you will see as hard a fight from Democrats, not just in Michigan, but nationally, as you will over this.
Absolutely. Stephen Henderson, sit right where you're at. We are going to take a quick break. We've got some calls to get to on the other side. Mason in River Rouge, you will be up right after the break. 888-552-3595. If you'd like to join us, Stephen Henderson, again, my guest, the editorial page editor with the Detroit Free Press. We'll take the quick break here. We'll be back right after this short break.
Hi, this is Kevin Moore, president of Teamsters Local 299. I want to wish everybody on First Shift Radio a joyous and happy holiday and a happy new year. Look forward to 2013.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
Let's head over to the Southfield Freeway southbound at Grand River. Accident has your right lane blocked. Lapeer Road southbound just before Silver Bell Road. Accident is blocking one lane. 75 southbound at 11 Mile, accident has your left shoulder blocked. 7 Mile Road, both directions between Evergreen and Southfield Freeway, that's still closed for that building fire. 75 southbound just before Baldwin, they've cleared that accident, but traffic is still stop and go from Dixie Highway. And we got some heavy traffic on US 23 southbound between Silver Lake and Barker Road. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
At Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet, you can turn Thursday night into family night. Every Thursday from 5 to 8 p.m., kids eat for just 99 cents with the purchase of an adult meal. Enjoy fun activities for all at family night, only at Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy with a high of 40 degrees. Tonight, a low of 30. Tomorrow, cloudy and 47, and it's currently 36 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
feed pouring, drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Now, time to punch back in.
22 minutes after the hour. Welcome back. We're going to go right to the phones. We've got a lot to get to before we have to let Stephen Henderson get out of here today. So we'll welcome Stephen back and welcome Mason in River Rouge to First Shift. Stephen, Mason, welcome to the program. You're on the air with Stephen Henderson.
Well, good morning, Tony, and good morning, Stephen.
Morning.
I think everybody knows that the Republican governors across the country, their agenda is right to work. And it amazed me that when Governor Snyder is going to do something or not going to do something, somebody can predict what he's not going to do or what he's thinking. Let him say what he thinks. He said it wasn't on his agenda. What is on his agenda? And that's the question. What's on his agenda?
Well, Mason, thanks for the call. You know, Stephen, it's interesting because one of the things that you said, if people didn't hear it, was there are some very good things that the governor has talked about. In fact, recently he did a special message on environment and energy. And sure, there was some nice stuff that came out of that. There's a lot of nice dialogue that's coming from the governor. But we also have a track record now. We've got 2 years of saying one thing and doing something else, and it's been rare that he hasn't had something cross his desk that he wouldn't sign.
Yeah, I mean, I think he is, you know, this is a governor with a pretty broad agenda, and he's been laying it out, you know, on a lot of different things, you know, pretty explicitly. I think on this issue, again, he's caught a little bit between a rock and a hard place. I personally think I know the governor pretty well. I don't think this is part of his agenda. I think he would much rather not have this argument. I think he would much rather pursue economic growth through some of the other things he's laid out. I think the problem is he's a member of a party, or at least he ran as a member of a party that does have it on its agenda, and that makes it difficult for any elected official to sort of take a different position and be able to maintain that. And I do think that the fight over Prop 2 was an accelerant on the fire that was burning for this on the other side. The people who contributed money to try to defeat Prop 2, I think, made it very clear that they were giving that money to get right to work. And that puts a lot of pressure now on folks in the House and the Senate to respond to that, and it's going to put pressure on the governor.
All right, let's go back to the phone. So again, if you want to join us, 888-552-3595. Roger in Garden City joins us now. Happy holidays to you, Roger. What's on your mind this morning?
Well, good morning, Tony and Stephen. This is just another attack on working people. They attacked the education system and took money out of that to give to privatized schools, and that's their agenda, is privatization. And what they do when they attack with right to work is that they make working people take less and big companies profit more because they don't have to pay out benefits like pensions and insurance, and they pay lower wages. They know what they're doing. They're not for working people. You know, look at the Republicans. They've taken money from pensions to give to big companies and CEOs. It's just another attack on labor, and I think the governor could be doing other things, trying to get this bridge done to create some jobs instead of attacking working people and trying to destroy working people's wages and their lifestyle. And that's basically what the Republican Party is today, taking care of big CEOs and taking care of the rich and attacking working people.
All right, Roger, thanks so much for your call. Go ahead, Stephen.
Well, I mean, I think that the Republican Party does have a real problem with working people. This is what Mitt Romney's problem was. I mean, you know, the things he said you know, what he thought in secret to rich donors about the quote 47%, you know, this fight that they have been having for more than a year about trying to protect tax cuts for the wealthiest Americans, even maybe at the expense of tax hikes for everybody else. I mean, it's a party that's pretty badly out of touch, and I think Right to Work is an example of that. I mean, I think as a policy matter, it's terrible for growth. What you'll see is you'll see a lot of corporate profits go up, but you will not see you'll see wage depression and the sort of shredding of benefit packages as a result. So, I mean, I still don't think you will get that done here in Michigan. I think it's delusional on the part of the people who want this to think that you could get this done in a state like this with as powerful a union history and present as we have. I think it's arrogance beyond what you would reasonably see.
Well, you know, one of the things that I've heard repeatedly from lots of different sources, literally, is Right to Work is taking all of the oxygen out of the room. And with that said, we all know what that means, Stephen Henderson. With that said, there are some serious issues facing us. There are lots of agenda items that are going to be either ignored or forced upon us. I mean, I can go to, you know, the Educational Achievement Authority and all of the issues that are going on with that. We, of course, have this series, these tie-barred pieces of legislation that would limit women's reproductive choices here in the state of Michigan, handcuff doctors, make it literally impossible for a woman to get an abortion without making it legal. I mean, there are so many divisive issues right now. You know, I don't know if people are taking sides on this stuff, if they want to see Right to Work because it takes away attention from their issue, or if this is just going to be another one of those things that they're just piling on.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I really do think that again, it's just a distraction. It's not a healthy argument for us to have because, again, I think this is about belief and core belief. And if you win this, if you're the Republicans, I think the price what they're not counting on is the price that would be paid down the road. It's not as if the unions would just take this loss and then go away. This will consume the political discourse in this state for years down the road and will stop us from being able to work together on much more important things that need to be done.
Well, as the one caller just said, you know, what's happening with the bridge? You and I could sit here off the top of our heads, Stephen, probably mention 20 or 30 things that we know are priorities that seem to have lost their way in this interesting last 2 years here in the state of Michigan. I, of course, am very concerned about progress. Stephen, I'm looking at data this week. I'm looking at unemployment numbers, unemployment up again in the state of Michigan, unemployment requests up. We're going to talk about this at 9:30. The unemployment requests are up 20,000 last month here in Michigan, and we're still not, even after all the tax breaks, even after all the business reform, we're still not creating jobs here.
No, we're not creating jobs as fast as we need to, and that's the narrative, not just in Michigan but nationally, that jobs are not coming as fast as we thought they would, and that's because my belief is that we have a bunch of very fundamental problems in this economy, among them the lack of training for the kind of jobs that people need to be able to do. At the same time that we're cutting job training at the federal level, or at least the Republicans want to. I mean, there are a number of different things that are going on, but focusing on that, I think, rather than going for gimmicks, is what we need to do. And Right to Work is a gimmick. It will not grow the economy.
Absolutely. Stephen, we're just out of time for today. It always goes fast. That means it's good radio. Stephen Henderson, we'll talk to you again next Wednesday.
Yes, we'll see you next week.
All right. Stephen Henderson, once again, we got to get to the break. So let's take it, and we'll be back with Lori Lamoran from Planned Parenthood.
1310 WDTW, Continuous Traffic Watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
Hey, let's head over to the Southfield Freeway southbound at Grand River, where accident has your right lane blocked. Stop and go traffic from the lodge. Staying on the Southfield Freeway southbound after 7 Mile, accident has your right shoulder blocked. Three cars involved there, and that's adding to the already slow traffic in that area. 7 Mile Road eastbound between Evergreen and the Southfield Freeway. The right lane is still blocked due to that commercial building fire, but the westbound lanes have reopened. 75 southbound at 11 Mile, accident has your left shoulder blocked. Right shoulder is blocked by an accident on 75 southbound after 8 Mile. 94 eastbound just before Trumbull, accident has your right shoulder blocked. Traffic is slow from Livernois. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
At Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet, you can turn Thursday night into family night. Every Thursday from 5 to 8 p.m., kids eat for just 99 cents with the purchase of an adult meal. Enjoy fun activities for all at family night, only at Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy with a high of 40 degrees. Tonight, a low of 30. Tomorrow, cloudy and 47, and it's currently 36 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Remember the horrible murders in 1978 of San Francisco Mayor George Moscone and Supervisor Harvey Milk? At the killer's trial, his lawyer argued for leniency, saying that a steady diet of junk food had addled his client's brain, a claim that entered the annals of jurisprudence as the Twinkie defense. Even less defensible is a recent claim by Ripplewood, a private equity firm that had bought out Hostess Brands 3 years ago, including Twinkies. Just before Thanksgiving, the firm asserted that it had been forced by greedy labor unions to kill off Hostess Brands. Far from greedy, however, the 18,500 unionized workers are quite reasonable and very loyal. In fact, they had previously given back $100 million in annual wages and benefits to help the company survive. The true greed in this drama is inside Ripplewood's towering castle of high finance in Manhattan. Rather than modernizing Hostess's factories and upgrading its products, as the unions had urged, the equity hucksters plundered the company to feather their own nests. For example, they siphoned millions of dollars out of Hostess directly into their corporate pockets by paying themselves, quote, consulting and management fees. But it was this year that the managerial incompetence and raw ethical depravity of the vultures of Ripplewood fully surfaced. While demanding a new round of deep cuts in workers' pay, health care, and pensions, they quietly jacked up their own take. And by a lot. The CEO's paycheck, for example, rocketed from $750,000 a year to $2.5 million. This is Jim Hightower saying, like a character in a bad Agatha Christie whodunit, Ripplewood, the one so insistently pointing the finger of blame at others, turns out to be the one who killed the Twinkie, along with the livelihoods of 18,500 workers.
To get more of Jim Hightower's populist take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to, visit www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us,
like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Union. Solidarity. Democracy. We make a difference when you give your voice. What's on your mind? 1-888-552-3595. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after 8 o'clock. Listen, there's no lack of things to talk about this morning. And I wish that there was a more positive focus. Not that we can't make it positive. What did Mark Brewer tell us on Monday? We need to be happy warriors, but warriors nonetheless. And maybe today it's a little harder to be happy than some other days, but we can still keep a good attitude about things, can't we? Of course we can. Well, it's time for our visit with Planned Parenthood, and Lori Lamoran's on a little field trip. Well, actually a big field trip. We're going to find out about that in just a minute, but let's get an intro and get this half hour going.
Their reach matters.
And in a year where the most basic truths and access to help is as critical as it has ever been.
Many people in the news are talking about a war on women, and others are denying it.
First Shift is proud to welcome to our airwaves an organization who continues to be the center of empowerment and honesty.
But certainly any objective look at the kinds of policies, et cetera, that some of the states are putting forward and being endorsed by the Republican candidate certainly would suggest that we don't think women are an important part of society.
And as they continue to provide services that save lives and provide a path to sanity.
First Shift proudly brings you the gift of Planned Parenthood.
And joining us now is the board chair of Planned Parenthood Advocates of Michigan, my friend Lori Lamoran. And Lori, welcome back to First Shift.
Good morning, Tony. How are you?
Good. I said you're on a field trip. Tell us where you're at.
I am in Washington, D.C. for one of four annual meetings that we have with the other CEOs in the state, or excuse me, in the country that run Planned Parenthood affiliates. And this time it's got a little twist. We're doing a little celebrating post-election and getting some updates about what we think is going to happen in the next term.
Well, I think it's important to do a little celebrating. Certainly, honestly, if people stop and think about, maybe the mixed blessing of Mitt Romney, he certainly placed Planned Parenthood nationally, and of course, for all of us in individual states, locally, at the center of the universe for a very long period of time, Lori Lamoran. And that isn't necessarily a bad thing, because we do know, and we'll just, say it for what it is, that it helped get women to the polls on Election Day.
Well, I think that there are a number of officials that were elected not only in Michigan but in other parts of the country, and certainly as part of the federal election, who would tell you that they think that Planned Parenthood's involvement really made a difference for the fact that they are now heading to Washington in January. And we are incredibly proud of the fact that women find Planned Parenthood and the representatives to be one of the most trusted advisors, not only about their health care, but also about choosing candidates that will really have an impact on their life and the way they want it. So we're very, very proud, and we are incredibly grateful that we have that sort of influence with women and that they listened to us and used it this time.
Absolutely. Well, of course, you're there with CEOs from across the country, the Planned Parenthood CEOs from across the country, and not just there to celebrate, of course. You're also there to make sure that you guys coordinate, or gals coordinate, and start anticipating policies that may affect the way Planned Parenthood does business, and business is the operative word there. I think it would probably be fairly important that you do get together those four times a year, compare notes, what's happening at the state level, and what you can expect to happen at the federal level, yes?
That's exactly correct, Tony, and I think the beauty of Planned Parenthood, the extent to which that we have real successes, part of that lies in the fact that we are 74 affiliates across the country. We learn from each other. We make sure that the mistakes that are made by some don't get made over and over and over again. So we do have a collective wisdom that I know helps our patients and helps us be effective in the business. I think people don't think of Planned Parenthood as a business, and certainly we are a business with a mission and a heart for the patients that we serve, but nonetheless, everything's got to work out financially at the end of the day, and we are a business, and so we get together just as business leaders to ensure that the various policies and systems that others are employing and are working well, that we share those and use them across the country. So that's the point of this week.
Well, I think it's an important point, and this is a simple question, but certainly I think one that bears asking, and because I just don't know, and that's always the best time to ask a question. What power, Lori Lamoran, does Planned Parenthood have to affect national public policy?
Well, I think it's like I said before, Tony, we are very, very trusted by women. And what we proved this time is that our constituency cares about reproductive freedom. And by the way, Tony, they vote. The gender gap in Michigan was 18 points. In the country, it was more like 23 points. So that of women that voted for President Obama versus Governor Romney. And I think, you know, one of the all of the pundits after the election were certainly highlighting the fact that the Republican Party was missing the demographics of who was really out there. But one very, very considerable demographic that they totally misread were women. And I think the gaffes that we heard over and over again about rape and other things and before the election was really telling in terms of what they thought women thought and what they thought women wanted to hear. And they just flat out got it wrong.
Yeah, no question. You know, they did flat out get it wrong. Let me ask you, as you seek out elected representatives, senators, are they receptive to meeting with the folks in Planned Parenthood?
Oh, they really are. I mean, obviously, the ones that agree with us philosophically are definitely our friends, and we call on them to do the right thing when votes come before Congress, et cetera. But even the ones that don't maybe side with us on all issues, there's certainly a number of them that talk to us about family planning with the understanding that that's really how we get to reduce the abortion rate in this country. And people are certainly polite, even those that don't agree with us at all, and will meet with us. And I think each and every time we do, it's always a good thing because they get an understanding of who Planned Parenthood really is and maybe are relieved of some notions that are simply not true about who we are and what we're trying to accomplish. So it's never wasted when we come to Washington and sit down with our friends and people that maybe aren't our friends.
What issues do you think Planned Parenthood will be taking on this week specifically while you're at the nation's capital, Lori?
Well, we'll certainly be talking about the implementation of the Affordable Care Act. You know, while we were waiting for the end of the election and the results, we didn't know what was going to happen with the Affordable Care Act. Certainly Governor Romney had said he was going to do away with it. So we were sort of waiting for that. So we are celebrating, but now we understand that that means that Planned Parenthood has to figure out how we fit in healthcare as it is now going to be under the Affordable Care Act. So we'll be talking about those things. We will certainly be talking about the Medicaid expansions in every state because, you know, Tony, those are our peeps. We take care of a number of Medicaid recipients and are happy to do it. So if there is expansion in Michigan, and we hope that Governor Snyder will certainly endorse that notion, we have to be ready for that. So it's a lot about that. It's about what the federal family planning program, Title 10, will what that will look like in the face of the Affordable Care Act. It's actually very intense business decisions that we will all be facing to ensure that we can bring the care that our patients expect from us to them under the Affordable Care Act.
You know, I can't help but think about the Title 10 grants and how that affects your decision-making as well. You know, there are so many different factors that affect Planned Parenthood, and this would be specific, of course, by state, even by community. And so what happens, I would think, at the national level has a serious impact, Lori, on what happens at the local level.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, certainly on a much more global scale it does in terms of, you know, does Michigan adopt the federal insurance exchange or do we try to craft one of our own or some sort of hybrid? That will matter. Just understanding about how all of the pieces are going to fit together to make sure that the coverage, the insurance coverage that is extended to millions more Americans is done in an effective and appropriate way so that people can take actual advantage of it. We know that there will be considerable provider shortages around the country, many, many more people seeking care and not nearly enough providers to actually provide that care. So we expect Planned Parenthood will be turned to as part of the many partners that are ready to stand and offer care for patients. So we have to figure all that out. It's incredibly complicated. It's very time-consuming and probably the most important thing we have done in the last 5 years.
Well, it's astounding. I believe that I read that you folks met with Senator Stabenow yesterday, who has been nothing but a great advocate for reproductive rights and certainly a champion of women everywhere. If they could all be like Senator Debbie Stabenow, Lori.
Well, your mouth to God's ears, Tony. You know, Senator Stabenow has proven not only to be a good friend of Planned Parenthood and stood for the ideals that, we hold so dear. But she really has been an example of what other legislators could be in terms of her willingness to reach across the aisle. She's the chair of the Agricultural Committee, the first woman to ever do that, have that job. And she and her colleagues on the Ag Committee did the most progressive farm bill in two generations, and they were the only committee that did what folks were asked to do last year, and they saved $23 billion some odd dollars toward ending the reducing the deficit. And she did that with complete bipartisan support. So Senator Stabenow knows how to do this. And very interestingly, in Senator Stabenow's own election, she had a 9-point advantage over the president himself. So wrap your brain around this, Tony. There were many, many men and women in Michigan that voted for Romney and Stabenow, which I think is really telling in terms of the kind of example she can be.
Yeah, absolutely.
For other legislators.
Let me interrupt you. We've got to get to the break. We're going to bring it back home to Michigan when we continue. We know that there's some legislation out there that Lori and I have to talk about. Lori Lamron, my guest. She is the board chair of Planned Parenthood Advocates of Michigan. We continue on First Shift after this.
Hi, this is Zach with Progress Michigan, wishing all the First Shift listeners a happy holiday season.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Truffiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Truffiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671. First Shift with Tony Truffiano.
Let me turn my attention now to Special Assistant to President Al Garrett at AFSCME Council 25, Ned McNeil.
We specifically signed this agreement on February the 1st of this year, and we ratified this agreement in March. They could have put this agreement in place that the unions had did, which would have annually saved the city $180.2 million. You wouldn't be in this game that they're playing. That they're just playing this game with people's lives and with the citizens of the city of Detroit.
On 1310 WDTW. First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Truffiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Truffiano on Facebook. And also follow us at Tony Truffiano on Twitter. Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595.
This is First Shift with Tony Truffiano.
We welcome back Lori Lamron, board chair of Planned Parenthood Advocates of Michigan. It is 10 minutes before 9 o'clock. Lori's in Washington, D.C. this week, but we're going to at least mentally bring her home. Obviously, Lori, we are very concerned about the state legislature. Seemingly, they didn't get the memo after the election. Lots of women voted. Lots of women basically said, keep your hands off our reproductive rights. Didn't seem to make that, that memo didn't seem to make it to the state legislature, Lori.
It didn't. They're taking a page out of their colleagues in Ohio's book where, you know, the voting machines were barely cooled down after the election, and the Ohio legislature was taking up some very severe anti-abortion legislation, which it appears that for the moment they've regained their senses and shelves. But Michigan is doing the same thing. It certainly isn't what we thought we would be doing right now, but we are facing the largest and most comprehensive anti-abortion legislation in the country, and the version that passed the House several months ago is now facing the Senate. We understand there are some changes in the works, but we're certainly pretty disappointed that this is where they're putting their energies at the moment.
Did you think that this fight would come up so quickly after the election and what most of us considered to be an Obama mandate?
No, I mean, no way, Tony. It was so interesting. These folks are tone deaf. They didn't get the memo. You are exactly correct. It, you know, there's plenty of issues that we ought to be looking at in Michigan because the economy, while improving, is certainly still not where we would like it to be. And so we're waiting for, you know, good legislation that might address those issues. But instead, they're dinking around with things that have to do with limiting women's rights to access abortion care. And I think that's exactly not what the electorate just said they wanted.
Let me just, if I could ask you to get a little bit specific, what are the precise provisions in this this proposed legislation that Planned Parenthood finds most troubling, Lori?
Well, I think at first glance, Tony, some of these things would seem pretty reasonable and actually could be managed correctly. But the way they've been done is the intent is never as pure as all that. We certainly know that. So what they've said is that they're hoping to make abortion care safer for women. In fact, abortion care in Michigan is highly safe for women. And while, like I said, some of these could be viewed as pretty reasonable, they've taken them to an extreme that would really mean shutting down a number of the providers that offer abortion care appropriately and safely now and would put up barriers that really would be burdensome and could affect whether or not women could ultimately get the procedure in the state. And as well as making sure that OBGYNs who are considering where to live cross Michigan off their list pretty quickly. I think some of the burdens around in added insurance for abortion providers and other things like that would certainly make OBGYNs say, yeah, I think I can go somewhere else. And, you know, Tony, one of the things that we may have talked about before is 21 of Michigan's 83 counties do not have not even one OBGYN provider. So we have a doctor shortage as it is, and this sort of shenanigans is just going to make it worse.
Wow. There's so much here. I think that part of what bothers me most of all is there's this, you just mentioned the economy. And when we stop and think about limiting access for a physician, why would you want to come to the state of Michigan and pay upwards of carry $1 million insurance coverage? Why would you want to change the way that we provide services in the name of safety when there's an industry standard that's recognized as safe and common that all of a sudden the Republicans are looking to change? And it just seems to me, Lori, that we are so far off where we need to be in regard to literally providing more access. And I'm going to go back to something you and I talked about really many months ago. How can you limit access to choice and then also cut things like welfare and aid to dependent children and food stamps programs? How can you do both? I mean, is there no conscience involved here?
Well, you're right, Tony. I ask myself the same question, and I would have exceedingly more respect for these positions if they didn't just care about focusing on what happens to a fetus if you would, and was actually interested in taking care of these children after they're born. And I think that's the biggest hypocrisy, frankly, that I see in what happens in some of these things, is that they, you know, I think it, as was evidenced by the ludicrous proposal that came before the House to give families tax credits for fetuses who had reached at least 12 weeks of gestation in a pregnancy the year after the same group ended tax credits for children. So obviously fetuses counted more in those people's mind than born children. And there something is just wrong with that philosophy.
Well, no question. Yeah, you know, so much of, like anything else, you know, Lori, you and I have talked privately. You're a very reasonable person. I'm a very reasonable person. It doesn't seem like we're always dealing, though, with reasonable people. And so it's a simple question, but wouldn't compromise, you know, be a better way to go about doing this? And I almost want to equate it to the fiscal cliff.
Well, I think you're right, Tony. I think that's exactly what should happen. I think to sit down and say, you know, we want to reduce abortion by X percent this year, which means we have to reduce unintended pregnancy by X percent, and therefore together we're going to work on these common sense things to ensure that more people have access to contraceptive care, to basic well women gynecological care, to prenatal care, and to make sure that the babies that are born are healthy and that they are timed in ways that families can have the resources to take care of them, et cetera, et cetera. But that's, of course, not what occurs. What occurs is this infighting and the all-encompassing abortion is bad and everything else doesn't matter kind of attitude, which is absolutely detrimental.
Well, we'll remind people, 97% of what Planned Parenthood does provides a path to health and education, unlike anything else available to women in the entire country. And I just don't understand why we can't find some clarity on these issues. We certainly share a same point of view on the vast majority of what we're talking about than not. And Lori, it's sinful the way politics have infiltrated a woman's right to reproductive health care. With that said, have a safe and wonderful trip. If you see the president, you know, give him a slug on the arm for me.
Yeah, give him a high five for you, Tony. Absolutely.
There you go. Lori Lammeran, thank you so much. Have a safe trip. We'll talk next week.
Thank you.
All right.
Have a good one.
You bet. Our weekly segment with Planned Parenthood Advocates of Michigan. Let's take a quick break here. Lots of good stuff yet to come on First Shift, so you're going to want to stay right where you're at. Mike Dabbs with the Brain Injury Association of Michigan. And Heidi Shearholz, an economist with the Economic Policy Institute, in the next hour. This is First Shift. Don't punch out quite yet. We've got more to get to.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
Hey, let's head over to the Southfield Freeway southbound at Grand River, where accident has your right lane blocked. Stop and go traffic from the lodge. Staying on the Southfield Freeway southbound after 7 Mile, accident has your right shoulder blocked. Three cars involved there, and that's adding to the already slow traffic in that area. 7 Mile Road eastbound between Evergreen and the Southfield Freeway. The right lane is still blocked due to that commercial building fire, but the westbound lanes have reopened. 75 southbound at 11 Mile, accident has your left shoulder blocked. Right shoulder is blocked by an accident on 75 southbound after 8 Mile. 94 eastbound just before Trumbull, accident has your right shoulder blocked. Traffic is slow from Livernois. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
At Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet, you can turn Thursday night into family night. Every Thursday from 5 to 8 p.m., kids eat for just 99 cents with the purchase of an adult meal. Enjoy fun activities for all at family night, only at Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
Hey, it's Tony from First Shift with...